listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Try to drop another one. You was itching to scrap. You exposed your ghostwriter. Now you wish it was scrap. Heard your pussy on yuck. I guess you needed the pap. What type of bum bitch? Shoot a friend over a rat. What type of mother leave a one son over a stack? Little boogie bass down basic bitch thinking she back. Back to back, or you mean back to whack? Back to back, me and Dreesy, you laughed at that.
Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. With your host Rod and
Karen.
That's right. I've done three different podcasts with three different hosts today.
So you had to remember who you're talking to.
I almost had to think, like, am I saying the right things? It was coming out of my mouth. And also, we have a very special guest. You guys may remember him from a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, but it's my man Jeremy from the Crown of College podcast on Twitter at @Blake_Dante. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, Rob? What's going on, Queen Karen?
Glad you can make it, man. Appreciate you coming through.
Me too.
Low key mad at Rod that I had to read those lyrics because I'm in Remy High, but you know, we all must make sacrifices.
Hey, you know, it's whatever we need. I almost gave you the Sheetha lyrics, but I said, no, let's mix it up a little bit, okay? All right, so this is, of course, the show where we recap The Walking Dead. So it's that Walking Dead Wednesday. We bake. And of course you can find, this show, The Blackout Tips, on iTunes and Stitcher and Podomatic and all those places. Leave us 5-star reviews if we like them. We'll read them on the air. It's that simple. And of course, Jeremy's podcast is, also on Twitter. I mean, on, iTunes and Stitcher. Search, CSPN. The CSPN network is, what he's a part of, and they got a whole bunch of good podcasts on there.
They're doing a lot of great things over there.
A lot of you people love Chels. We had her on a couple of weeks ago, and she's on the same network.
CJ Mail.
CJ, I don't know if CJ's still there, but Mail, I know.
CJ on protection because, you know, she got a license to care.
Yeah, well, you know how she is. I mean, she's very violent if you're, you know.
And very light skinned.
She's on Twitter just shooting ashy niggas left and right. And then of course you got Sarone. So I mean, it's a lot of people over there. So go check out the whole network.
For everybody that comes over there now, me and Sarone ain't related, but we from the same area, so that's why we sound the same.
Yeah, and your co-host is also Dan Trace Omi on Twitter, right?
Dan Chrism.
Okay, my bad. Yeah, Dan Chrism is also the co-host over there. So, man, I got my Dan's confused. But yes, Twitter's a small world. It's a small world, everybody. But yeah, so, I mean, he listens to the show too. And I tweet with him back and forth sometimes too. We got to get him on eventually. So, yeah, man. First of all, you know, when we talk about Walking Dead. What's up, Ken?
Yeah, I about to say, the difference between you and Sarone is that when we have Sarone on, we have crickets in the background. So, you know, we don't have the outside. So that's how they can tell the difference.
Well, I mean, like, okay, so, like, Sarone is from America's Georgia, and that, it is as country as it sounds. And my hometown is literally 30 minutes, well, really 25 minutes away. And it's called Montezuma, Georgia. And the difference is Sarone has crickets, but see, we have like dragonflies and shit. So the only reason y'all don't see them is because I moved to Atlanta. But like, if I was still back home, you would see like a dragonfly, maybe like a hawk, like flying in the background or some shit. So, you know, it's why we had to get out of there. It's really nothing down there, so.
Nothing but wildlife, sound like.
Nah, nothing but light poles and pine trees. Nothing but light poles and pine trees.
We are sponsored today, which I forgot to mention. Okay, the official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
A bullet ball extreme. And we are sponsored by Shadow Doll Productions. We have two albums out with them. You guys should have heard of them, but if you haven't, you can check out Sunspot and Other Ratchetness. Go listen to it. You can buy it on Amazon and iTunes, but you can also listen to it on Spotify, and I don't know if it's on Tidal, but you can just search for it, Sunspot and Other Ratchetness, and listen to us do some voice acting, man. We should have another album coming out very soon. Mm-hmm. So hopefully you guys will enjoy that. We appreciate everybody takes the time out to do that.
We do.
All right. Let's see. You know, before we get into it, I feel like we have to pay the cost to be the boss, guys. Time to do a little fucking with black people. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that you hate to play and we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the globe, we find different articles make us feel fucked with, and we score them from 0 to 100 animals of 25 for how much they make us feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestants, everybody. Shocking. Everybody's back, guys.
Everybody.
The 911 dispatcher in the Tamir Rice case, mm-hmm, has been punished. Remember, she was the one who said that it was a guy pointing a gun at people, and the police went off of that information when they rolled up on the park and killed a 12-year-old black boy. You want to know what the punishment was, Karen? You got any guess?
No, I. You know what? Even know that. Like what you said about the 911 person, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I just, you know, and honestly, I didn't even see the video. I just heard about she got paid suspension.
8 days.
8 days paid suspension?
8 days suspension.
With pay?
Just that suspension. So.
I'm assuming that's with pay then. Normally, if you don't get paid, you tell people it's without pay.
Not fired. Not jail.
Then he make a use of PTO time.
Yep.
So she basically got to go home and watch Netflix.
Yep. Suspension. The same thing you get for getting in a fight at school.
Ah.
Yep. If you've ever done something bad on a bus, suspension. If you're an NBA player with too many technical fouls,
suspension.
Mm-hmm.
At least they got to pay fine. She ain't even a fine.
Yep. Parents are very upset. Zero to 100, Karen.
Oh, 100.
All right, Jeremy.
I'm going to give that a smooth 100.
All right. I will round out the crew and say 100 as 8 days. Somebody's life is gone. You gave horrible misleading information that aided in that. And
So you got a week in a day.
Yep. Parents.
What about the kids in Wisconsin?
What about the kids in Wisconsin?
Honey, what about them kids?
What about the snow in Chicago?
Come on.
Parents,
what about the cheese on the table? It is spoiled and rotten, and it is a problem in this American society.
Yeah, I'm still fucked
with
it.
What about the fondue? What is we gonna do?
I'm still fucked with the starting this show because there was some woman I had never heard of this morning who called Van Jones a house nigger.
How do we get here?
But she's a liberal. Yeah. She's a liberal woman that's on our side, Karen. Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, you're not. No, she's ma'am.
Yeah, she's an ally.
No, which, ma'am.
You know, I say ally. All lies.
Yeah.
All lives matter. Mm-hmm. That's how.
I mean,
how
don't all allies matter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This week, you know what? These like last weeks with the excuse me if I mess up her name, but is it Chimamanda?
Chimamanda. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with her and like all this talk about allies, it does seem like it's been one long fucking with allies. Not even fucking with black people, but fucking with allies.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's funny because it mirrors some of the same things, like behavior wise, where all these, she's like, no, the way I used the term, it was fine, because she was like, why is Van Jones playing the house nigger? And like she thought she was doing it out of some sort of like, I'm defending Van Jones by saying they're making him be a house nigger. And it's like, first of all, you're not even using the term correct.
No, you're not, ma'am.
Cause if you say, why is a black person playing the house nigger? What everybody hears that is black is that you're accusing them of being a house nigger by being like not being forced to be one, but just literally, doing some Uncle Tom type shit. So you're right. You're not reaching your core base. And then when people say, hey, this is offensive, and maybe as a white woman, stay away from calling any black people nigger or using that word at all in your activism, because she has activists under her profile and shit. She's like, no, black people, let me tell you what it really means.
When I saw it this morning, not to cut y'all off, when I saw it this morning, I clicked on her profile and saw that activism shit, and it was like those people that had like the airplane emojis in their bio and like the booking information, like, I'm an entrepreneur and also a chef, and also I raise puppies, and also I work at DeVry, like,
and I can sell your mixtape.
Yeah, she was like talking about how she knows John Lewis, and I was like, yeah, that shit doesn't matter at all.
No, it does not.
Like, I don't know, like, if you John don't, and she tagged him too. I was like, John Lewis don't want to see you pulling him out as your Negro Pokemon to defend you against the fact that you call somebody a house nigga.
Come on, I bet John Lewis
looking at her like Snoop Dogg probably looking at Bow Wow right now.
Yeah. both them niggas in trouble though. Uh-oh. We keeping it real. That's neither one of them's escaping that. But yeah, so I was just like, yeah.
We don't cover that another day. I don't know what happened.
We can cover it today.
Okay.
I was just like, yeah. I already fucked with just logging on to Crowdcast, looking at this woman like, I can't. Like, she tweeted me so many times on some like, no, but it means this. I was like, no, I'm black and I'm telling you it don't mean that. Like, nah.
She replied to that. Everybody, dog. Like, I saw her in your mentions. I saw her in some other,
April
people that I follow. I was like literally just a sea of mayo and white tears. Just a sea of, but no, black people, this is what I mean.
Right. Well, anyway, there's a school where they're teaching kids about black history. So that's good.
Okay. It's already watered down, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's very watered down, but they said, let's water it back up, okay? No more watering down.
Now water it up!
Let's get it all the way real for these kids.
Don't you mean drown it?
Let's teach these kids the real reality of all the slavery and all the black history and stuff in America by having these fifth graders make posters for slave auctions. That's what they taught them to do. They said, fifth graders, make posters for a slave auction and put it on the wall.
You talking about like 10, 11 year olds?
I'm talking about fifth graders.
That's about the age that you are in the fifth grade. You're about 10.
Mm-hmm. Talking about fifth graders.
10/11.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Talking about fifth graders, Karen. Fifth graders making posters.
No. No. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No. 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 Hell no. 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 I refuse. No. No.
Yeah.
And what did you do for children that parents have taught them about this shit and they go, I'm not doing that?
Well, apparently.
Because I guarantee you, it's probably at least one woke child in there going, no, I refuse to do this.
Like, somewhere Jaden Smith is shaking his head right now.
Mm-hmm. Posters for the slave auction created by fifth graders have been removed from the wall of New Jersey Elementary School hallways after parents became outraged over the assignment. Mm-hmm. The South Orange School District is planning a community meeting to discuss whether the assignment is appropriate for fifth graders.
Why we got a fucking meeting about this? Don't do this. Why we have to have a meeting? Just say no. Don't do this bullshit ever again in your motherfucking life. The end.
So we have to have a meeting as to why this might be not only too much for the kids at that age, but maybe offensive, and we have to have a meeting about that instead of just listening to the parents about, hey, don't do this shit no more.
And because it's brown people, because I guarantee you, y'all don't have no posters about children making about the Holocaust. Y'all don't put them posters up, do you? You don't put no pro-Hitler posters up talking about we trying to teach the kids about the Holocaust. You do that? Word? All right, then.
They definitely need to have a meeting. I don't know what y'all talking about, but after you do this, it's going to definitely be a meeting. Like, I feel like you might could get by on a meeting if y'all are not having a meeting if you didn't do it. But yeah, the kind of school that does this, I need a lot of meetings with people, a lot of meetings with the parents, I need a lot of feedback in the loop. Y'all decision making not too strong. I might need some people to get fired. I might need y'all to be a little more active in the community, because whoever thought this was a good idea was definitely trying way too hard. Yeah, so they're planning a community meeting to discuss whether the assignment is appropriate for fifth graders. Superintendent John Ramos said in a note to parents that the project at South Mountain Elementary School is part of a larger Colonial American unit that's been used for 10 years. One poster listed the names of available slaves, who included 12-year-old Anne, described as a fine house girl. Another poster says all slaves raised on the plantation of John Carter and specifies that only cash is accepted. Ramo said the project should have been accompanied by an explanation.
There wasn't an explanation in the first place?
I believe that. I really, truly believe that.
What did they just copy and paste?
I believe that. People are dumb. You have a lot of people, just keep this real, that are over children that are not educated and diverse in history, especially in the lower levels where you don't have somebody that I went to school to teach history, quote unquote, per se. You know, because in the lower levels, normally you have one teacher all day long, and that teacher basically has to teach you a little bit of everything. And in my opinion, when you have people that are uneducated in certain fields, they don't know, they don't do their research, they don't study, and also it's underlying a lot of teachers, predominantly white women, are in this field. A lot of them are low-key, have a lot of white supremacy, be it consciously or subconsciously, they have it. And it's one of these things where they think doing this is going to quote-unquote teach children, and it's not, and you can't explain what you don't know. Guarantee you, that's why there was no explanation, because they don't know. You can't teach a child what you don't know. And it's very frustrating that we have to have a meeting about this, because it makes no sense to have a meeting about some shit that's actually wrong. And you do know that you have children making this. You do know this shit is real. I can go a few hours to South Carolina, walk through a museum, and see actual auction papers. You know, like authentic auction papers where they have ages and all this shit. Like, this is not a game. Like, you're demeaning the black children, and you don't think nothing's wrong with this. Mm-mm. Because it's insulting. No.
One parent wrote, educating young students on the harsh realities of slavery is of course not the issue here, but the medium for said education is grossly insensitive and negligent. In a curriculum that lacks representation for students of color, it breaks my heart that these will be the images of young black and brown kids that they see of people of their skin color. Furthermore, it's completely lost on me how this project will be an effective way to teach any student in an age group about American history. It is responsibility of the community members to hold the board accountable for the future of our town's education. Oh my God. these posters, they really drew the faces of the slaves on the posters. Like,
cause you're dealing with children.
Yeah. That, this reminds me of that, retreat they had where they put nooses around the kids and shit. And then they was like, we've been doing this for years. And it was like, well, it needs to have been stopped for years. Like this, like, I don't care that this is your tradition. Like, this shit is whack. Yeah, they got wanted posters.
Just because you did something and when people didn't think it was shitty, that doesn't mean it's not, still not shitty.
Right. They got wanted posters, dead or alive, reward, $1 million. That kid needs to be, that's an F. 1737.
They don't even know the price range.
1737, it wasn't no nigga worth $1 million. What is wrong with you?
Top dollar, you talking about $200. That was top dollar.
Wanted, Mary Brown, crime, stole food and money, reward, 100 pounds or euros. I can't tell the difference. They look like backward E's to me. Somebody with zero followers and zero following on Twitter told me that I can't tell the difference between euros and pounds. And you know what? I will concede that I don't know the difference. So we're just going to call everything both from now on until I can figure it out. But yeah, so, now it's weird because if this was done in New Jersey, why the fuck are they using euros or pounds? Is it that accurate? They're like, yo, back in the day before American currency, they was using euros and pounds, not dollar signs. That kid should get an A. So yeah. That's pretty bad. The teacher apologized for the project in his letter to the parents, and the posters have since been removed from the walls. One of the anti-bias experts highlighted the fact that the schools all over the county often skip over the more painful aspects of American history, and that we need to do a better job of acknowledging the uglier parts of our past so that children learn the full story, said in his letter. We completely understand how disturbing these images are and why parents were upset. This was exacerbated by the fact that the displays did not include an explanation of the assignment or its learning objectives. Yeah, that, number one, that's the main problem, to be honest. Even over drawing the posters, any of that shit. If you don't accompany it with a lesson, what the fuck are the kids learning?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, draw these posters and we're done. Good job, everybody. Go outside and play. You know, like, that makes no sense. What'd you say?
Draw these niggas with no explanation.
Yeah. Have fun, black kids. Y'all, good job, everybody, today. So yeah, you definitely have to do that. But I definitely understand that, I do want things like this taught in school, to be honest.
Me too.
I think too many schools skirt around this shit. I think too many people skirt around this shit. I think, and this includes black people, a lot of people are ashamed.
Right. They don't want to deal with the pain. They don't want to deal with the discomfort. Because the thing about slavery is that everybody runs away from it. The people that were victims run away from it. And the people that perpetrated the crime run away from it. Everybody run away from it. Nobody want to talk about it. Nobody want to bring it to the forefront because for everybody is pain. And this is why you have a lot of people, white people who go, well, I didn't got nothing to do with that. And then you have a lot of black people to go, well, that makes me feel bad. That makes me feel sad. You know, I am overwhelmed with all these feelings. But in order for this country to actually move forward and to move forward in a proper way, and in my opinion, and particularly to get rid of, in my opinion, a lot of the racism and racist shit that goes on, this has to be addressed.
You know what I would like? Take the same, do a lesson, actually. Like, explain it. Don't have the kids draw it. Like, just give them, like, some laminated copies or something. Like, pass out a copy of, like, look, this is what this looked like. Like, when I went to the slave, like, one of the museums, the auction museum in Charleston, like, they take you to an exhibit and you see the papers. It's actually a lot more effective, you know? Like, it doesn't get queued up by using crayons to draw. Like, it's just a real reality that you have to accept. And, you know, it's not that I think fifth graders can't handle this sort of stuff. I think we need more of it in schools, but the crayons and drawings and no lesson plan just seems so stupid. 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, that is absolutely 100. And to talk about what I was saying before, because I'm not even gonna lie, for a long time, and I think you kind of helped me view it a little bit differently. I was never, quote unquote, never ashamed of slavery or wanted to run away from slavery, but I realized that I was to an extent when it came to entertainment, you know, like about movies and shit like that, because I was like, why I need to watch this shit? I know what would be, I know what happened to us. Like, I don't need to watch some shit that I know is painful and brutal. But what I've learned is that you know about slavery, but you know what, it is a lot of rich history about slavery. Mm-hmm. That we don't know nothing about. What's wrong with your face?
I thought I went off screen for some reason. Yeah. I went off screen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I should be coming back, sorry. Okay. It just randomly did that. It just was like, you want to reset your camera, and it just did it in the middle of the show. All right, cool, I'm back. I don't know what that was.
No problem. I looked at your face like something wrong.
No, I didn't even touch anything. It just was like, you turn your camera off, turn it back on. Anyway, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem. And so talking to you and listening to you tell me about the books and things that you've been reading about slavery, I realized, oh, okay, I know about slavery. Like this. I know about slavery, but I don't know slavery, if that makes sense. A lot of people know about and know of in the abstract, because most people living today, with the exception of like people close to their 100, never really truly experienced slavery. And so I'm like, I know of it. But I was like, oh, it's a lot of shit out there that I need to educate myself on. Because the more you know, the more you learn about techniques, you will see a parallel to the bullshit that happened today is the same parallel. The bullshit that happened years ago is the same techniques that are happening today. You have to be aware. But if you don't know the techniques, you're not aware.
Well, Snoop Dogg is aware. I'm assuming we all get that last 100. Snoop Dogg apparently made a video called Lavender, in which he makes it seem like he shoots the president.
I don't want to hurt you, but I'll disperse you and send you back to the earth you came from.
With so much drama in DC, it's kind of hard being TRUN. On Tuesday night, Rachel Maddow released info regarding Donald Trump's 2005 tax returns. And just hours later, at 7:02 Wednesday morning, we saw the president firing off a tweet to Snoop Dogg over the toy gunshots fired at a clown parody of the president in Snoop's Lavender video. We could analyze the failing career remark or the mentioning of President Obama in this tweet, but that's for another time. Many have spoken out with disapproval of the rapper's depiction of the president in the Jesse Welles directed music video. Snoop owes the president an apology, Michael Cohen, the president's personal lawyer, told TMZ Live on Tuesday. And Senator Marco Rubio said he thinks Snoop shouldn't have done that. Snoop's fellow rappers have been speaking out in support of the video, including Ice-T and Naughty by Nature's Tretch, who told TMZ it was a confetti gun. Ain't nobody got shot. Confetti came out. It was artistic, and cited Saturday Night Live and other parody examples. Now, Billboard has reached out to Snoop for comments, but what I want to know is what you guys think about his art.
No, we will not tell you what we think. Yeah, that's wild. Bow Wow also responded to the video.
And also T.I.
Yeah, T.I. responded. Bow Wow kind of went a bit overboard. Ayo, at real, shut your punk ass up. Talking shit about my uncle at Snoop Dogg before we pimp your wife and make her work for us.
Oh, how do we get here? And you know what? I'm going to tell you right now. I do not care for that woman. But at the same time, you don't disrespect her. I mean, you know, now I'm not trying to, when I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, basically, you're saying, hey, dog, we're gonna hold your wife out. Like,
there is
a line. To me, there's a line there. You know, I don't like the woman, but come on, dog.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thankfully, I haven't seen anybody on my timeline defending Bow Wow, because I saw when I was coming home from work, in traffic, because, you know, Atlanta traffic is trash as hell. But so it was kind of like, at least on my timeline, it was kind of like a really dog, because like Karen said, like, I don't think anybody likes Melania or whatever, but like, Nigga, you basically just said that you and Snoop gonna prostitute, like, his wife. Like, the fuck? Like, that's, like, and somebody I follow was saying this, like, men gotta stop, like, using women when they have issues with another man.
Right.
You
know what I mean?
Like, if you got an issue with Trump, which, let's keep it a buck, who doesn't? You know, at least if you black, who doesn't? You know, or you know what, you, like Karen said, you may not even care for Melania, but she doesn't have anything to do with directly with your direct disdain for Trump and what he said about Snoop. You know what I mean? Because it's from, he said failing career, which, I mean, come on. And all this shit and bringing President Obama into it, which he got such an obsession with President Obama.
Seriously.
Like, but you know, it's like, dog, like how do you have beef with Donald Trump, but you, like, how do you go up against Donald Trump and you still don't win? Like no black people are on your side and you going at Donald Trump. Like how, only Bow Wow can go up against Trump and he still don't win. It is amazing.
Stupid ass Shad, man. But yeah, it's that thing where I talk about all the time where somebody can do something to you and you can say something back in retaliation and you can be totally justified, by the way, and lose everybody because you just don't know when to stop. You don't have any lever, like any, you don't have anything inside you that says this is too far. And if you don't have a line, people really can't support you. Like there's people that are falling to the cult of personality or that stand type shit where they just support anything somebody does. But a lot of times, man, there's people that will start with a good point, go so far, and then have everybody jump off ship. And you have like the, you know, you'll have the contrarians and you know, like the people that are always trying to like justify some shit, you'll have them people with you. But for the most part, people are like, yeah, dog, you had a point about something Donald Trump said and then you took it to a whole new misogynistic level or whatever. Now it is two rappers that rap about pimping women and shit. I don't know how seriously we should take them. I don't think it's an actual threat that they will be pimping his wife or anything, but I just think in the social media age, it's kind of sad to see how some people just aren't with it. Like they just completely, and maybe, you know, they figured it out. Maybe they're still able to make a living like that and shit, but I don't know, man. It seems like some people are just so fucking obtuse, man, in a world where you should know more than ever now. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Now with T.I. cussed Trump out on his Instagram, yeah. But like he didn't, the difference is he didn't attack his wife, like he didn't attack Melania. T.I. just cussed him out like that uncle that drunk a whole bottle of Crown Royal straight by himself.
Yeah, he says, yeah. At Snoop Dogg is a fucking legend. Hey, you fucking tangerine, tan, muskrat, scrotum skin, lace front, possum fur wig wearing, alternative fact, atomic dog diarrhea face ass man. Leave our legends names out of your fucking old ass puppy piss smelling ass mouth and continue to focus on dividing minorities, building barriers, alienating immigrants and fucking this country up like you been doing. Hashtag you want to be a dictator. Hashtag presidential level fuck boy. He concluded.
It's funny. I don't know why face ass man is the most funniest part of shit.
Well, you don't know what's funny to me is T.I. is the same dude that said a woman can't be president. So.
Come on.
That's true.
That's
I mean,
funny.
I haven't forgot that he's
Unc
Right, but that shit was funny.
Yeah.
Unc Right.
It's like, I just remember him saying that shit and being like, is this nigga serious? And then we get Trump and he's like, oh, it was for real. It wasn't the time for.
And he also had that damn, Unc Right ass video about the feminization of the nigga. Batman and when his mentions questioned him about it, he skated smooth past that shit.
Yeah, it was that woman who's he shared a video of her saying a bunch of really homophobic and sad shit. Yeah. All right, so that really wasn't fucking with black people. That was just kind of, I guess that's
one
y'all
more thing before we move on about that about Bow Wow doing that. Also, like, nigga, you talking, like, you threw Snoop name in some shit. Now, again, I mean, he is a rapper, and I know his discography and shit, you know, the content of what Snoop rap about, but I'm not sure Snoop want to be tagged in some shit talking about he gonna pimp out Trump's wife. Like he on the show with Ellen and you know with Martha and they got that cooking show. I'm sure Snoop ain't trying to fuck up his money. You tagging him in some shit, some head ass shit like that. Like Lil Romeo would never.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah, that's whatever, dog. We'll see on the next update, but it's all a distraction anyway.
Come on. You out here fussing with Snoop Dogg on Twitter and Instagram or wherever else you can and fuck around and Russia gonna turn around and gonna be like, you know what, this is Russia, bitch.
All right, let's talk about what everybody really came here to talk about, The Walking Dead. That's right. This is The Walking Dead episode 13 of season 7. Bury Me Here. And apparently it got like the lowest ratings of the last 4 years, which makes sense because I think those last two episodes were a huge like bottleneck, almost like it just felt like you had momentum down. And then it was just like, let's tell these smaller stories, which is something they've been doing for 3 seasons now. Mm-hmm. But I think people are growing kind of tired of that shit. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think people are still watching it, but they're watching it on their DVRs and stuff like that,
live,
which still pretty big. I mean, 10 million viewers is a huge audience, but you know, this is a pretty big decline considering they had like what, 16 million at one point.
Right.
So,
a lot of people stopped watching, but some people, like I said, they still do, but they don't watch live anymore.
Yeah. And maybe they're hoping, you know, it can gain the momentum back or something. Anyway, they suffered a lot, but let's go ahead and talk about this episode. This episode was Bury Me Here. And I would say the biggest thing is we get into the politics a little bit more of the kingdom and the exchanges between the saviors, and things get a little intense, and we do have the plot move forward in a couple ways here, and we get to see some character development with Morgan and Carol and even Ezekiel. So I'll start with you first, Karen. In general, thumbs up, thumbs down, what'd you think about this episode?
I enjoyed it. I loved it.
You loved it. All right, what about you, Jeremy?
In the beginning it was kind of dry for me, but towards the end it's lit. So overall I maybe on like a scale of 1 to 10, I give it like an 8.
Okay.
Or 9.
Yeah, I love this episode. The first time I watched it, I thought it was okay to good. Like, all right. And it was definitely better than the last 2 weeks. So yes, that was definitely to me like a positive. You know what I mean? Like maybe I'm giving it a boost because I didn't like the last 2 weeks of the show. But, I watched it the second time and I was really able to enjoy some of the more like the acting moments, because it wasn't necessarily an episode where everything's so unpredictable. You don't know what's coming. It was more of an episode about execution, because I've been calling some of these things for weeks at this point and they started happening. And I think a lot of times when you watch a lot of TV and movies and shit, you know, I think most people that watch a lot of TV at some point, you're just like, I want to be surprised by everything. But for me, sometimes I appreciate just the execution. And Lenny James is such a great actor that when I watched it the second time, I was just like, yo, this dude, he brings so much pathos to a character that I don't think could just be brought to life by just anybody.
Yeah, he is so much better than a comic book character.
Yeah, and they definitely depend on that, because if you think about Morgan's plot lines, they don't give him a lot.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? If you think about it, like, he's never really dating anybody. Mm-mm. He's you know, like, it'll take weeks off between giving him more shit to do. a lot of his stuff is like 1 minute discussions with another character, and then that character goes and does the thing. Like, this is the first time in a while they've kind of gotten back to his story, and I actually enjoyed it. And also, he's a man of few words on this show, so it's not even like when they follow him, you would get him doing a bunch of long talking. It's mostly action and face acting and shit, and then blah, out, you know? All right, so we can break this down scene by scene, and we'll, you know, get in where you fit in, everybody, okay? So this joint opened up actually with Carol having what appeared to be a it actually opened up with the back of a truck, and Ezekiel and the kingdom are clearly going to another swap meet with the saviors, and this time the cargo was only one single cantaloupe. And then it goes straight to the opening credits, like the theme music. Before we even got to the episode, Karen, what do you think that meant when you saw the one cantaloupe?
It was going to get to the point where eventually they were going to be short. I stopped thinking about what Rick and them had told them. Mm-hmm. One day, something going to happen. You're not going to produce. You're going to be short, and it's going to be a problem. You're not always going to be able to produce. They was already hanging by leg because they were fattening the pigs up with walkers. Like, they were doing all types of shit to cut corners to make shit stretch in the first place.
Okay. What do you think, Jeremy?
I thought maybe it signified desperation. Like, they getting low on supplies and stuff. And like Karen said, like, eventually that little piece you think you got with the saviors ain't gonna last because you don't know these niggas.
Yeah, I was thinking,
I gotta step to the side, right? I'll be right back, guys.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I was thinking they probably shouldn't have, you know, Ezekiel shouldn't have been sending all them eggplants over to Carol if
he didn't have any
produce to spare. But yeah, I thought the same thing, that they were running out of produce.
Mm-hmm. Running low.
Yeah, I just thought running out. I mean, because obviously this deal is important, and one definitely wasn't going to be enough. So I was like, that looks extremely light. What are they about to do? Because the savior's not going to take one cantaloupe and be okay with it. Anyway, we come back and Carol awakens in the middle of the night. She clearly had a nightmare. She like lights her lamp on and starts sitting on the side of the bed, and then she's like, God damn it, and gets up. And we don't know what her nightmare was about or anything, but it's clearly she's not sleeping well, which I wouldn't be surprised at this point if anybody wasn't sleeping well. I mean, it's fucking, everybody got bodies on them and seen some horrible shit, so I didn't know if it was just the PTSD kicking in, because Carol be having issues at times, but she basically gets up. We cut to the morning in the kingdom, and this all takes place in the same location, basically. But Morgan is training Ben's younger brother, Henry, on how to use the bow staff. And he's like, why are we getting up so early? And Morgan's like, you said you want to learn how to use the bow staff. You say you want to be able to beat your brother up. And he's like, is that what you want to do? He's like, yeah. And Ben comes over and starts watching, and he's like,
don't see him.
Right. And Morgan says, no, you want to learn how to be like your brother. And he was like, yeah. And he was like, all right, well, let's start first. Let's get the feet straight, because if the feet ain't, and the kid's like, if the feet messed up, everything messed up, something like that. And Morgan's like, you learning. And, you know, I like, a lot of people kind of shit on Henry, but I like Henry because you got to think, every day that kid goes to bed, Ezekiel comes in there and tells him a civil rights prayer.
Come on.
And a story. Like, that kid's the future right there. That's what we need.
Yeah, he is.
You know, he probably drawing. What'd you say?
He gonna be woke.
Yeah, he probably drawing auction posters and putting them on the wall.
I bet you he told that little boy, Black Lives Matter, right? Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm. Good job, Henry. Go to bed. Carol walks into town, basically. She knocked a walker out on her walk into town, but she didn't kill it. She just knocked it down on the ground. It was still alive. She also, which, once again, convenient zombie, right? Now, it could be that Carol is the smartest person in the world, but felt like a convenient zombie. Like, she hit it. It fell enough to be stuck where it was at, but not die. And she left it alive. And then she found a tree to, right outside of the kingdom where there was a bunch of walkers waiting at the gates trying to get in. And, she took a sign from the road and got on top of the tree and stabbed the walkers in the head one by one. Then she got out the tree, killed the last walker. The morning, the knights must come out every morning to clean off the wall. So when they came outside, they were shocked that all the walkers were dead already.
Right.
And Carol just walked right by them, didn't even say hi, really.
She walked in like VIP.
Right.
She was like, oh, y'all getting coffee, y'all, your work is done.
Right, and Ben was like, how did you do that? We was just going to clean the wall. And Carol's just like, where's Morgan? And Ben was like, I don't know. She was like, let me go find Morgan. Morgan's just in his room chilling. She comes in there, asks him, why did Jesus bring Daryl and everyone to the kingdom? So clearly, that was the thing keeping her up at night. She didn't believe Daryl.
Yep.
Yeah, like, she knew that his shit wasn't adding up. He told her what he thought she needed to hear so she could have peace.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is, she's way too smart for that shit. She knows he wouldn't be up there if something bad didn't happen. And
she started putting that shit together. She was like, you came, the whole crew came, like, all y'all came here. Something didn't happen right there.
Right.
It was like she was the woman that Donnell Jones was talking about on Where I Want to Be, and she figured out he was full of shit.
Mm-hmm. She was like, this nigga lying. So she knew. Well, once she knew he was lying, I guess she was like, let me go ask Morgan, which,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, she wanted to live in the fairy tale world and realize that this ain't gonna work.
Mm-hmm. Alright, so, Morgan lies to her again and says the reason that Jesus went and got everybody is because, Rick wants everybody to work together and they're all trying to create these communities and,
can't tell the whole truth, but part of that is true though.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's more of a lie than the truth, because I think he was saying it on some like, we just all got together, but they would never have gotten together in communities at all if not for the saviors.
That's true.
He pulled a Kurt Cross.
Yeah. So, but then she's like, is Daryl lying? And Morgan like, my name is Bennett and I ain't in it.
Right. He was like, you had that conversation with him.
Right.
That was y'all was talking at me.
He like, you told me to lie to people and I lied for your ass.
Cause you wanted to be left alone.
Now, if you got some problem with these lies, we could go to Alexandria right now and get it straightened out. But if not, you want to be alone. Like, did you not enjoy your time alone? Is that not what you want? Or was it just too late to get away? And then she got frustrated with his ass and was like, body ain't nigga, and left.
Ha!
I'm like, man, she always get mad. So yeah, he was basically like, you know, bye. And she left and, Ben caught her on the way out and was like, hey, can you teach me your ways? And I'm like, this dude is the number one kung fu disciple in the whole kingdom. Like, he stayed looking for a master, man. He like, well, teach me how to do that shit with the sign. Teach me how to, I just want to watch your ways. I'm just trying to be an intern.
Right. He was like, you know, because my thing is like, I'm learning the stick, but you know, I want to learn your ninja ways, master.
Right.
He was acting like he Gohan or some shit, trying to learn from Piccolo.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to diversify his stocks.
Right. Carol stay asking questions she don't want to know the answer to.
Right.
She knows she got an isolationist policy. And, you know, she don't really fuck with nobody. Ben wants to hang out with her. She rejects that shit. She like, right. No. He was like, I can miss my drop and I can just hang out, you know, with you learning all day. Ezekiel understands. She like, no, Ben, go do your drop.
Right, because she was like, I ain't trying to get attached to no other kids that's going to die on my watch.
Well, I immediately thought, it's starting to happen. This must mean Ben gonna die. Cause they making his ass too adorable. He asking, on Twitter at that moment, I said, I wonder if this means Ben's gonna die to drop. Cause they always have those moments where it's like, these key decisions made everyone feel responsible for this adorable boy dying.
I know, he was so precious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was too sweet. We called it, weeks ago when we, yep. Weeks ago, like, he too sweet to be in the Z-Pop. He
too sweet.
Too kind hearted.
Too nice. So then, she leaves, and, on her way back, she sees the zombie that she left alive is dead now. Mm-hmm. In the middle of the road. Somebody killed it. She looks around. She doesn't see who did it. Mm-hmm. We can see somebody's watching her. We can kind of see their shoulder. Then the camera cuts to, Richard, who has a shovel in his hand, and he walks around the corner of a building and right past a whole bunch of shopping carts that are stacked up together. He walks right past them and he starts digging a hole, and there's a bag on the ground, a book bag that says Katie on it. And then it goes to commercial.
Yeah, and I looked at that book bag and I said, that's the same book bag that was in his crying trailer.
Mm-hmm. And I knew that was, I was like, that's definitely him digging that hole. What the fuck are you up to, Richard?
Right.
You stay trying to scheme and make some shit happen, and you're not exactly the most brightest dude. What the fuck are you up to, Richard?
Mm-hmm. When I first saw that, I was like, because I thought back to him and Daryl's conversation where he was basically trying to sacrifice Carol, and my first thought was, is this nigga trying to set up some shit where Carol might trip some shit up and cause the war? Right. And like, that's her burial. That's what I thought initially.
Mm-hmm. Well, he, right. I thought it could have been a trap for Carol too. So then, we come back and Ezekiel's looking over the royal garden, as they would. And, Ezekiel. A black woman. Oh, what'd you say?
Ezekiel A. Smith.
Yep. Over there looking at the, royal garden, and a black woman who obviously keeps her hair laid because she's wearing a scarf and overalls.
Come on.
I think she's supposed to be Muslim, but right. You know, maybe they don't have.
She brown and she's like, look, I'm out here. I can't be getting my hair fucked up.
Yeah. But I think, you know, that might have been like a little nod, wink, wink, like, mm-hmm. Oh, we got a Muslim person in.
Yeah.
And that's probably why the rating's going down too.
You're getting too black.
And Trump's America. I believe in zombies, but I don't believe in letting one of them come over. Like, I can see that. Anyway, her name's.
I don't like my zombies white because right? It is.
Her name's Nabila, and apparently she's like a person that works in the garden and shit, and she comes over to Ezekiel and she's like, hey, I was coming to look for you. And then she sees Shiva and he's like, oh, don't worry, Shiva likes you. She was like, yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
Right. She gonna like me too much.
She basically tells him like, look man, we got weevils in the plants and we need to basically pull up and burn these crops before they affect the others. We gonna lose some stuff, but it'll be all right. And he was looking kind of upset because obviously they give a lot of their crops to the saviors, it seems.
And that's why at the beginning it was getting lower and lower and lower, and nobody could figure out. And this is what you figure out, what was happening to the plants while they were not producing.
Mm-hmm. He's kind of sad about it, and she says, here's the beautiful thing, your majesty. You can tear it out and cut it down, you can burn it and throw it all away, but if you want, it can all grow back. And then King Ivory Wayne was like, message.
Mm-hmm. Right. So cute.
As soon as I saw that, I was like, Ezekiel, this might be foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm. And then Shiva growled, and then she said, okay, think I just pissed myself, I'm gonna go ahead and go.
Time to go.
Yep. She thinks she me. Cause if a nigga got a big ass tiger hanging out with him, guess what I'm not doing? Mm-mm. Getting too close.
I love how Ezekiel, like, expects people to remain calm while he got a big ass fucking tiger right by his side.
Mm-hmm. Ben comes by Morgan's room to tell him that it's time to go make the drop off. And he also brings him a painting. Like, hey, let's go make this drop off by the way, Morgan got on the drop off squad real quick. I mean, he be on the drop squad for a minute. You would think the dude that is opposed to killing wouldn't be on there, but he's there.
He want him there for a reason.
Yep.
Because he's like, I know you won't do nothing stupid to get us killed.
I just think Ezekiel likes having another brother around.
That's true, too.
He's like, hey, he could drop that shit sometimes when they be alone. What's up, my nigga? Shit. Ah, I ain't
nothing. Ezekiel don't want this to be Get Out.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Try to chop down them old cakes, man. What you know about Carol? Yeah, so he gives Morgan a painting, and then he thanks Morgan for that Aikido book, and he cites a line from there about not hitting your opponent because it injures yourself or something. And then Morgan looked at the painting and was like, who's the girl? Like, who, what girl done got your nose wide open? You out here looking at paintings and shit, little boy. And then he didn't answer. Ben was like, come on, man, let's go. And Richard and Morgan look at Ben outside teaching Henry some things before he leaves. And Richard's like, kid's too young to be a father. Just babies having babies.
Ah, that's his brother, though.
I know. That's the joke, Karen. yeah, Henry is Ben's brother, and it's not really his child, guys, okay? then Richard uses his that chance to try to convince Morgan that he's wrong about fighting for like the thousandth time. I don't know why people can't get it through their head. You can't just talk to Morgan in out of fight. Like, he's gonna always be like, no, you know, like, come on, man, we gotta do it. And he's like, no, I don't want to do that shit.
Morgan Van Jones for a reason, right?
And he was dropping hints and shit like, you know, you need to be ready and shit like that. And Morgan looking like,
yeah, what? Morgan like, man, okay, dog, let's go make this drop off.
Right, whatever.
He says the day is coming when you say you're a good man, Morgan, but the day is coming when you can't be that good. When the time comes, try not to beat yourself up about it. And then before they left, they had Jerry eating some cobbler, which explains a lot with Jerry.
I love Jerry.
Jerry,
like, it was delicious too.
That explains a
you
lot.
Know why I love Jerry because Jerry in this whole crazy ass zombie apocalypse, we about to get ready to go to war shit, Jerry just a regular ass nigga, and I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, leave it here. He was like, word, dog. It's good. You're gonna make me leave it.
Ezekiel like, come on in, bring the cobbler. He's like, right. Yes. It made like, his whole day.
He's like, whatever it takes. Come on. You're slowing down the process, boy.
And then in the back of the truck, Morgan asked Ben about that girl again. Ben smiles and they both kind of smile. Then they get to that road where Carol had just passed to go back to her house, and it's blocked by shopping carts. Who could it be? The carts form an arrow. They follow the arrow around, and while they do this, Richard takes charge, and he kind of walks away, like, to scout the area, but he's like, keep your gun up, be careful, go around this, protect the king, like, he's just coaching. And while everybody's paying attention to that, he walks off a little bit, and then come, like, you see him turn around and then come right back. They go around the corner, they find a grave that is empty, but it says bury me here with a sign over it.
Because mm-hmm. At first when I seen it, I thought it may have been like the same, like somebody had basically just set them up, and I seen the arrow, and then I seen the grave, and it made me think about having a shovel and, you know, and things like that. I was like, this might be you.
Yeah, I immediately was like, what the fuck, Richard? So I'm like, he's gonna fuck up the drop. I don't know how, but I've been telling people this. I feel like maybe the show made it too obvious or something. I don't know. Whatever it is, I've been talking about this shit for weeks, literally on this show, where I was like, if I knew I'm the first one to die, I might be doing some desperate shit. Or if you, like he said, I'm willing to die to start the war, maybe I'll start some shit. I'm assuming they gonna kill me. And of course, that'll start the war. Like, they just killed one of us. Keep in mind. Yeah. The difference between and a lot of people are getting confused, I think, because of story jumping around. The thing with the kingdom and the saviors is this. The saviors have never killed anybody from the kingdom.
They haven't.
For all the shit people talk, Ezekiel and them don't feel as desperate as the other people. They don't feel like these motherfuckers going to do something to us.
They didn't see their people get fucked up like Rick and them did, or like Hilltop has.
Right. They feel like we have plenty. If all it's going to cost us to have peace with these people is 10 watermelons a week or whatever the fuck, by all means, have some cantaloupes. Like, we don't, like, it's easier for us to do this. Keep in mind, they're essentially an isolationist colony because they lost a bunch of lives trying to expand. So the lesson that they learned is different than the lesson everybody else learned. That lesson was, hey, if you can just make sure this little area is safe and they've never had to fight a war, they don't have to kill people. Mm-mm. Like, all they had to do is sit up there and live in fairy tale world, and fucking the saviors come through as a dose of reality once a week, and all it cost them is some produce. Hell yeah, you can have this shit. Like, that's how they look at it. Not saying that that is justified, but they don't have the knowledge that we have as fans of the show that have watched Rick, the Hilltop, the Saviors. We've watched how treacherous it is. They don't seem to have been through any real treacherous time yet.
Right. Oceanside, because they lost people, but they lost people to walkers. And like how Rick told Ezekiel, the difference is the walkers don't rule you.
Mm-hmm. Like it's, I think the thing is, we see how organized they are. So the idea is, well, obviously they could be like a good fighting force if they just were ready to battle. But I mean, I'm not saying they wouldn't be a good fighting force. I'm just saying they never had to, you know? So anyway, they go to this meeting, the weekly drop off. And, lo and behold, when they get there, they are late because they had to move all them shopping carts out of the fucking street so they could get to the meeting in time. So now they show up late and the dude with the long hair is fucking around with Morgan's bo staff and shit, just being a complete dick. Ezekiel basically gets out. Oh wait, I forgot to mention one more thing. Before they left and they were looking at the grave, King Ezekiel basically muses that it's the workers of somebody that's been driven mad by this world. Mm-hmm. Which he had like a really dope line here that only he could pull off, where he was like, systems of quiet hate while others live in freedom on the same land. And I was like, this nigga's so deep. He's taking a red like some fucking Ta-Nehisi coats and fucking started a whole code up there and shit. So yeah, dude was, what'd you say?
Stephen A. Ezekiel.
Stephen A. Ezekiel.
I just needed him to bust out like asinine, sendiferous. Like, I just needed one good Stephen A. Smith word from Ezekiel. Just one good one.
Right. You know what's interesting? Somebody brought up in the chat, how do they tell the time? One, I mean, they do have electricity and watches and clocks and shit still. So I mean, one thing on this show that's a little different is they haven't gone complete stone ages like it was in the comics.
Right.
So that's one way you could tell the time. The other thing is, if you get to the drop and the saviors are there first, you late.
As far as they're concerned,
you late. The saviors are always on time. Your ass is the only one that could be early or late because the saviors are the clock. You know what I mean? I wish you luck. Yeah, they don't seem to be the type to let you be like, well, look, you said 12:05. Like, they don't seem like those type of dudes. They seem very much like they are. I think I saw my man John from Project Fandom say on Twitter, they are cartoonishly evil. And he's right.
Ah!
Like, they are twirl your mustache evil. And I think part of it with the with this drop in particular, I think they're more quote unquote cartoonishly evil for this drop because they haven't killed anybody.
Right.
You know, with, I think they've been itching to kill somebody. That's their policy. We kill people. That immediately puts everybody on guard and they start working with us and they
but
know.
Everything was running so smooth that they haven't had no problems.
And I think the whole time they've been itching to kill somebody, which is the Negan way. You know, like, okay, you fucked up. We killed somebody. Now y'all know the line. Now we won't have no more problems. Look at, with Rick and them, how they treat them after that shit and how Rick and them react. Hilltop is completely, just deballified. Just completely, just lack of testicles everywhere. You know, like they've just completely, worn them down or whatever, right?
Right. And also, I think too, you have, Ezekiel, who is like, I will do whatever it takes not to calls a war, you know, because his thing was he don't want to lose any more people.
Right, but even with that attitude, they still want to kill somebody.
Right,
they're itching to kill somebody, which is why I think they're more gung-ho by the fact that Ezekiel was the one to be like, y'all don't need to do that, we'll bring y'all some shit, it's cool. You see what I'm saying? Like, they're like, we normally take the guns, kill the people, come in, get what we want, and then we make you be here every week with our shit, and we'll just come in your gates and take our shit if we want to. They didn't get a chance to do that to the kingdom, so I think they're overcompensating with this particular drop, because they're not as cartoonishly evil with the other drops. Like, even Simon and shit, you know what I mean? Like, he shows up and it's not a whole bunch of like, what you gonna do, huh, bitch, huh, slap him in the head with a pole, you know, it's none of that shit, because they're not overcompensating, because they're like, we killed some people already, what y'all gonna do?
That's what old boy with the long hair, I think what you just said, right, I think that's what he symbolizes.
Yeah,
and that's why he's there.
Yeah, he's like the loose cannon auto. I'm like, I hate this nigga.
Right.
They should kill him. Anyway.
Exactly what I said.
Gavin brings up their leg. Zeke tries to smooth it out. Jerry says, don't interrupt the king, cause he just ain't got a sense of timing. Like, I could have told him that was gonna end bad. And then dude with the long hair, Bizarro Jesus is what I've been calling him.
Right.
Bizarro Jesus goes upside Jerry's head with the bow staff.
Right. Wicked stick.
Right. And
popped the hell out of him too.
Mm-hmm. And then Gavin says there's no kings, presidents, or prime ministers, or any of that made up shit. It was always made up. And I was like, nigga, ain't you a fucking middle management at Negan Inc?
Come on.
Right.
You trying to make your way up the ladder?
Tom, you work at Negan LLC talking about ain't no presidents. Motherfucker, let Negan hear you say it.
Ain't that the truth?
Ain't you Negan?
Right.
I mean, you just became regional manager. What are we talking about here?
Right. Anyway, Gavin goes to check the melons, and then he's like, everybody give up their guns. The kingdom, everybody pull out their guns, because apparently they are big up on that big boy.
Right.
They done gave up their guns for some tickets to the playoffs, but the Hornets, they won.
Come on now.
Nigga, we slum. Kept all our guns. I gotta protect my family. So they was like, we ain't giving up our guns. And Gavin was like, look, we can do this shit the easy way or the hard way, but you gonna need to give up them guns, cause it's about to get real emotional. And fucking Richard is like, we should give up our guns. And then
that was sound number one right there.
Right.
But then Bizarro Jesus was like, we didn't give up our guns, like trying to be funny and pick on Richard. And also, I forgot to mention, Bizarro Jesus was mad at Ben, because Ben had said some sideways shit to him when he hit Jerry. So that was like he noticed that. Like, so at any rate.
And didn't he sweep him with the stick last time? Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. Yeah. He absolutely did.
He blocked Psycho Ranger 1. He blocked his, I forgot who he was trying to, he got into it with, but he blocked him and paired and sweeped his ass.
Yeah. He hit him with that L1 and down.
Ah! Yeah. Hit him with that right bumper.
Yeah.
Like a counter on Soul Calibur or some shit.
Right. So,
he thought he was Keelix. That's who he thought he was. He thought he was Keelix.
Mm-hmm. So Gavin was like, well look man, I done warned you, y'all ain't got enough. And Zeke was like, I counted before we left, I know we have enough. He was like, well go count then, nigga. And he was like, 1, 2, 3, damn man, ain't enough, don't worry, we can get back with twice as much in an hour. He was like, player, this ain't happening in an hour, it ain't happening 20 minutes ago, it's happening now, and you about to just sit back and learn this lesson. I've been having problems with this drop every week and all this shit.
You've been Richard.
Right. And he was like, you know what, dog? Somebody got to die. You know, somebody got to go. And he told the long-haired dude to kill somebody. And this is after, you know, they've given up their guns and Morgan said it was fine and shit. Mm-hmm. Gavin says, Bizarro Jesus, go ahead and do your thing. And Buddy pulled out the gun to put it in Richard's face. And Richard was like, do it, bitch, or whatever. And Gavin was like, oh, you think you tough? and he took the gun and shot somebody else, so we don't see it on camera.
You just hear Morgan.
Right, you hear everybody. Everybody's like, oh no, and shit. And it goes to commercial, but immediately I was like, that's Ben.
Right, that's not Ben.
Yeah, it had to be Ben.
Yeah, because Gavin did say, and I know we'll get to it in a minute, Gavin did say Richard was the one that's been cutting up the most, so if something go wrong, he the first to die.
Yeah.
Psycho Ranger 1 were hearing that shit, though, and acted out of turn and shot someone else, and I was like, yeah, that's Ben.
Yeah, it was very much like when Ricky got shot, you know. I was like, oh, damn, he done killed Ben. But yeah, he shot Ben, and Ben was bleeding out and shit. And when we come back, you know, everybody's in a panic. Gavin got mad at Bizarro Jesus and was like, give Morgan his stick back. Which I was like, what does that have to do with any goddamn thing?
He's like, you having too much fun with that stick. Give it back.
And he's like, give him. I was like, the gun is the problem. Anyway, he's like, give him his stick back and don't say a goddamn word. Get in the truck. And dude, like, goes and gets in the truck, like, shoot, damn, you can get a trip. No, shoot, motherfucker. And then Gavin tells him, because, you know, everybody's like, we have to go. There are medical supplies at Carol's house. We'll go and we'll take care of being there. And he's like, now hold on a damn minute. I was like, if you ain't the motherfucking manager at a Wendy's ass nigga. God damn, I hate me a...
But you think you're going somewhere. Wait a minute. We got some paperwork to fill out.
Right, you made your point, dog. He's like that person when you like, I got to clock out. I got something else to do at 7. And they come by at 6:59. Like, now did you clean up your station? I'm going to go through this with a fine tooth comb. Bring me my white gloves. Let me see. And you're like, motherfucker, you only doing this because this the one time I told you I got to go. Like, if I wouldn't have said I wanted something, you would have left me the fuck alone, and I would have been out of here an hour ago. You would have cut me quicker. So, anyway, this motherfucker's like, now you get the point now? You get the message? Is it real? And then Zeke is like, yes, motherfucker, I get it. He's like, now tomorrow, I want you to bring me one cantaloupe. At the same time, we're going to drive all the way back out here for one fucking cantaloupe. We're going to put another tank of gas for one cantaloupe. So we can make one stupid ass point that it's 12 cantaloupes and not 11 cantaloupes. You got me? And then Zika's like, I got you. And he's like, get out of here, nigga. And he's like, bye. And they get out and they drive to Carol's house. And,
interrupt her piece.
Richard is slow getting in the truck.
Come on.
Where Morgan's like, come on, get in the truck. And then Richard's all moving like, damn, I thought they was going to kill me. And so.
He was shook. He was absolutely shook. He was like, shit. Because, you know what? Because, obviously, at this point, it's kind of obvious that Richard, if not set this shit up entirely, had something to do with it. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't even think at first he was like remorseful that Ben got shot. More so, he's remorseful that it wasn't him and that his plan didn't go according to what he thought.
That's what I think.
I mean, I think he did. I'm not saying he absolutely hated Ben or didn't care for Ben at all, but initially, I think the shock on his face wasn't that Ben got shot and might die. It's that it wasn't me.
Right. So then they go to Carol's house to try to save Ben, but he was bleeding out so much that, like, they put, they must have had dollar store paper towels. They put him on that nigga. That shit bled through so fucking fast. And then Ben, who was dying, looked over at Morgan and he was like, to injure your opponent is to injure yourself. I'm dead.
You were looking at Jack in Titanic when he was falling to the bottom of the ocean.
You know he got a black daddy. He might as well end up with Maya Angelou.
No more. We both found what we were looking for. Friend in
Goodbye, Ben.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Ben died, Karen. It was sad.
It was.
And so then Milt Morgan just this nigga walked out into the street like Kevin Bacon in that movie where he used to be where he used to be dancing. that nigga walked out in the middle of the street by himself. I thought if they would have started with some fucking 80s music and that nigga would have started dancing, I would have lost my motherfucking mind. But you know, this is how you know Lenny James can act, because honestly 99.9% of people will just look stupid doing what he just did. Mm-hmm. But like, they do a whole montage where he walks into the middle of the street right in that same area where the shopping carts were. Mm-hmm. And he has like a meltdown. They start showing flashbacks and montages of his wife and his kids who are dead.
He gonna snap.
Right. They show him going through his clear phase.
Right.
They show him killing zombies, killing people. He looks like he's suicidal at several points. Like he's about to cut his own wrist right at that grave that says bury me here. Mm-hmm. Like he was about to lose it all, cause you know, white lives matter, y'all.
And he was crushed.
Yeah, Ben was real close to him, and like Ben, I think the flashbacks of like his family, especially his son, was very telling, and especially that clip where they showed that he might kill himself, because he kind of grew to Ben, and like Ben became like his second son.
Yeah,
like,
and
he was
Ben
teaching him, he was training him, he was close to him, you know. I think that's why they had so many montages and clips of like their dialogue, and like how when Ben was dying on the table, that he looked at Morgan specifically and quoted something from Morgan. Like that was Morgan's like adopted woke white child, and Richard got him killed.
And they've done a lot with that with a little bit of time for that relationship, because you know, when he first got there, Ben kind of showed him the ropes. He was interested in Aikido. Morgan taught him to use the bow staff. You know, they talked about Henry. He asked him about Ezekiel. Like, they haven't had a lot of screen time together in Hilltop, but the little bit of time they've had together,
in the kingdom.
That little bit of time they've had together has basically you know, created this rapport that I think we're supposed to fill in the blanks, because we don't come to the kingdom every week or whatever.
Right.
So at any rate, this nigga dies, and Morgan is just in the street losing his motherfucking mind.
Ain't he though?
And he puts two and two together, realizing that the distraction from this morning was so that Richard, who was the only one who walked away from the group and toward the truck, must have done something with that cantaloupe.
Okay.
And so then, in his rage, what'd you say?
Did he find it?
In his rage, he kicks a yellow container, which I won't front. This is the only part of this thing that looked kind of stupid, because he kicks this yellow container after, like, it looked like he was going to kill himself. And the yellow container was the only thing he kicked. So it wasn't like he was knocking down shopping carts, throwing trash cans. Like, he just kicked this yellow container like, oh! And then the cantaloupe was right there, and he was like, this motherfucker, I knew it, you know? Mm-hmm. It was just funny to me, like I said, because it's just the yellow container was so light, and the cantaloupe was right underneath it.
Right underneath it. It's like, you did a terrible job. You ain't throw it in the woods or nothing.
Right. So then,
shout out to the brilliant villain in the chat room. He said it was very convenient. So I guess we got convenient zombies and we got convenient cantaloupes.
Oh yeah, it was definitely convenient as shit, man. I mean, you know, it's, I get it, you know, but yeah, that shit was, I laughed like a motherfucker. Cause I was just like, really, are we doing this, guys? Are we doing this cantaloupe? But yeah, he found a cantaloupe. So he goes, next scene, he goes into Richard's room. Richard's in there chilling by himself. And he throws a yellow container on the ground, basically like, I found your cantaloupe and where you was hiding it. And Richard's all like, oh shit, let me explain. You know, and he tells his whole fucking origin story. And this was also some of the best acting by Lenny James.
This nigga didn't have one word of dialogue. He acted the whole scene with his eyes.
His face.
He was looking at Richard like he found out Richard voted for Trump, but he had invited this nigga to his wedding, the godparent of one of his children. Like, he was looking at this motherfucker like, you got Ben killed. How can you explain this? And
his body language didn't change not once.
Listen.
He, through that whole scene, he looked like, nigga, I will kill the fuck out of you right here and now. Like, the whole scene.
And the thing is, Richard and the Kingdom don't really know the Morgan we know.
Right.
You know, they right. don't, they don't like, know y'all that.
Y'all got that peaceful Morgan.
Exactly. They don't know he got more bodies on him than the ATL orgy. Okay. this man
that's
is
a lot.
Walking death if he wants to be.
Come on.
You know? And so he's telling Morgan this whole origin story about how he's like, look, the plan was for me to die. I didn't mean for Ben to die, but now that he's dead, we might could team up together. You know, Morgan, you know, we gotta kill or else. If you're not gonna kill, then you might as well just kill yourself, because we gotta go to war, and I'm gonna be the one to lead the army to the war, because a long time ago,
when I was in it, he was like, you know what, I'm sorry to bug that, but you know, this might be a good thing. We might can flip this and make this into something.
He was filibustering. Cause it was that thing where, like, your girl or your boy, whoever is mad, and y'all motherfuckers, and you know they so mad, they don't even want to talk to you, they so mad. And so you just start talking. Cause they never gonna talk. So it's just up to you to figure out a way to talk yourself out of this. That's what Richard was doing. He was just like, I came home, the cake was on the counter. I thought the cake was for everybody. It looked delicious. I thought maybe you had already had a piece of cake. You had been to work. I didn't know it was your cake. You had a fork out next to it. I thought the cake could have been for me. It was almost my birthday. You missed my birthday. You didn't give me the gift. I thought maybe it was just a belated birthday gift. And you know, I love chocolate. I know you don't really like chocolate like that. I mean, I thought maybe the chocolate cake was for me. I know it had your name on it, but I thought it was like from Karen. Karen is giving this to me. Like, he was talking like that to Morgan.
Yeah, the death.
And Morgan the whole time just looking at this nigga like, the woman from Sanford and Son that Fred used to get into it all the time. He was looking like, what was it, Elder or something? I forget her name now. But he was looking at her like, you fish eye fool.
Esther,
that's what it was. And so he was like, look, man, I was in the camp when the Z-Pox started. My daughter died. My wife died. Like, my wife died in the fire. Me and my daughter went on the run for 3 days. She died in front of me. And, you know, because I didn't do anything. I kept waiting on people smarter and better than me to come along and figure it out. But nobody ever came along. So you got to realize it's up to me. I said, I'd never die without trying to do something again. So this, I had to do something, and it didn't work out. Ben got killed, but we could still make this work. We could join together with Rick, and we're going to fight in this battle. And I'll tell Ezekiel, what happened. I promise I'll talk to Ezekiel. I'll tell everybody what I did. I live the rest of my life making up for it. And Morgan.
Now, the whole time Richard was explaining this shit, I was thinking, because we kind of called it, like, something had to have happened to Richard where he's just this desperate and gung-ho about killing the saviors. But here's the reason then. Like, dog, it's like on Love & Hip Hop with Mama D. Hood, the Ernest, mm-hmm. like, every season he come up with a new reason why he ain't shit.
Yeah.
And it's like... I was listening to this and I'm like, okay, Richard, I get it. Like, people died, your wife died, your daughter died. That's fair and valid, you know, mm-hmm. that you would feel bad that they died. But because you didn't do nothing, so you gonna, like, even though you didn't plan to, so you gonna, like, use that to justify you sacrificing Ben.
Mm-hmm.
To start this war, like, it's like Rosita. Like, you this gung-ho and trying to sacrifice and do a selfish-ass plan for the greater good, quote-unquote, and you not thinking about the greater good, which is the people that you would have to fight with in order to take these people down.
And that's why none of these people are the leader.
Correct.
Because they don't think about everybody else. Rosita doesn't think about everybody else. Sasha don't think about everybody else. Daryl don't think about everybody else. Like, those are people that want to move without people. Richard, same thing. So I was like, I'm not gonna front. In this scene, I started rooting for Morgan to kill this nigga.
He had that look in his eye.
Like, he had the look. He had the Richard wouldn't stop talking. At one point, Richard's like, you gotta kill. You're gonna have to kill. It's just what you gotta do. And Morgan's just looking at that motherfucker like, yeah, keep talking. I was like, that's when I knew Richard ain't never have a black friend. Cause if you had a black friend, you could look on his face and the face was like, I probably should shut up.
Why, you'll start hearing this music, you go, okay, that's not keeping quiet. You won't even know where you're hearing the music from.
Right.
You be like, where the fuck this band pop up? Oh, I might need to be quiet.
Right. Richard was looking around like, you hear that? And Morgan was like, oh, I hear it. Like, so after he does his whole explanation, Richard, and I'm like, let Shiva eat this nigga. But I think by the end, Richard realized he was begging for his life. That's why he was like, I'll tell Ezekiel, I'll tell everybody. Mm-hmm. I live the rest of my life trying to make up for it. And you know, Morgan is that dude that got that, he got the, I don't kill, and you know, type of whole thing now. Mm-hmm. And what people don't realize, killing for Morgan is like an alcoholic.
Right.
Like, for the rest of us, we think we'll just have a beer. But Morgan is an alcoholic, and there's no one beer for him.
Right.
Eventually, he's shitting himself in your car, and you feel bad for calling him a little bitch because he won't drink no beer. And you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot. Alcoholic. Can't control it. And so I'm like, if Morgan kills this dude, I don't know what the fuck else is happening. Like, Morgan might fuck around, kill this dude. Next thing you know, he in the room choking Henry to death, stabbing Ezekiel in the throat. I'm like, okay, maybe not now. Don't kill this man at the moment. And Morgan's like, all right, I gotta go. And he leaves.
Right. He was like, without him saying it, was like, I'm gonna keep you to your word, dog.
Right. You gonna tell everybody, you're gonna make up for it. So Morgan leaves the room, watches Ezekiel console Henry that night.
Right.
And in the morning, cause Morgan doesn't go to sleep. In the morning, we see Ezekiel watching Nabila throw away produce before they load up the one cantaloupe in the truck. Then they go to the meetup, and Morgan asks Richard if he's told Ezekiel yet, and Richard says, not now, we'll talk about it when we get back. And Zeke says, what y'all talking about? And Richard's like, we'll talk about it when we get back. And Ezekiel's like, nigga, I said now, tell me.
And this is when I knew that Richard had officially got into some shit he couldn't come back from. Listen. I mean, obviously, but nigga, you don't lie to a nigga like Morgan. When somebody give you that look that Morgan gave you, and you'll keep your word, okay.
And they done already gave up all their guns, so they had to swap unarmed, right? Morgan got his bow staff, but Morgan had a look of just anger, but Morgan got his bow staff off the ground after looking at the blood where Ben had got shot.
And that probably reignited that anger he already had. He picked up stronger.
Right. He was sandwich slamming mad. He picked up his bow staff and Ben's bow staff.
Come on.
And so then
covered in blood.
Before they could even get into the explanation, the savior show up. Mm-hmm. Before they could even finish it. And Gavin asked if Ben was okay. He realized he was dead, so much so that he said it out loud to himself. And then Gavin seemed hurt by the news, and he yelled at Bizarro Jesus and said, walk back and don't look or say anything or I will kill you. And the dude definitely looked at him in a very dismissive manner and then walked away, and Gavin didn't do shit. He walked off.
Under that middle management. You done fucked up. You really done fucked up. Just get out of my face.
I said no salt on these fries. Yeah. But I don't have firing power yet.
I really don't think Gavin really gave a fuck about Ben. I think the insubordination of Bizarro Jesus not killing who he said all this time.
Right.
If you fuck up, Richard's gonna die. He has to be the one to die. That's why he wanted to keep bringing them to the meetings, because he knew Richard was going to keep fucking up. And this is the one guy that he can make an example out of. So Ezekiel A. Smith will get in line. And Bizarro Jesus was like, nah, fuck that. I'm going to disobey your orders and kill who I want to kill. Mm-hmm. I think that hit him more than Ben actually dying. Cause I don't really think he give a fuck about Ben. I don't think he wanted him not to die for the right reasons.
Well, I will say this. He did. I don't know if the actor meant to make this choice or not. He looked genuinely broke up when he found out Ben died.
Right, because he was like,
and I think it's because Ben was, you know, a young white dude, you know, a kid essentially. Mm-hmm. I don't know what age he was supposed to be playing, but it felt like he was supposed to be 16 or so. Yeah. And everybody was supposed to be like, well, damn, man, not like that's cold, you know, because when they told him he was dead, it wasn't like, God damn it. Oh, they always kill. It was like, really? You had to kill him? Like, what did he do to anybody?
Right.
You know, let me go to the next session because we're going to get cut off real quick. Let me, I'll invite everybody back on screen. Give me 1 second, everyone.
Okay.
Take long. I don't know why this is moving slow now.
Oh.
Okay, there it is. Mm-hmm. Let's play a little something for the cantaloupe.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we have something special down here at Birdland this evening. A recording for Blue Note Records.
That's kind of loop. So after the Bizarro Jesus walks home, because essentially he has to walk home, they get ready to make the exchange. Richard brings Gavin the melon, and after he gives him the melon, Morgan drops Ben's bow staff. And he's still holding his own bow staff. He walks up to Richard, knocks his ass right upside his motherfucking head, and starts choking his ass out.
Mm-hmm. He was like, motherfucker, I told you to tell him. And you, it was one of them things where you didn't keep your motherfucking word, and he had had enough.
Right. And the saviors tell Ezekiel and his crew to stay right where they are. And keep in mind, Ezekiel and them don't have any guns. And so they don't even go to get Morgan off of Richard, and Morgan essentially chokes that man out, slams his head on the concrete, and strangles the life out of him out of pure black rage.
Come on.
Like that shit.
Black rage. Yeah, I felt that anger.
That shit was so good. What are you saying? I'm sorry, Jeremy.
I said Morgan choked Richard out like he was the police.
Mm-hmm. I gotta say, I know a lot of people said they didn't like this episode. I don't know what the fuck they was talking about. I've been waiting to see a white man get choked on TV since November 6th. I said choke. I rewound that shit like 4 times. I said, get him. He's still breathing. Oh yeah, watch your face. Watch your face. Trying to grab you.
And the thing is, he choked him so motherfucking hard that when he stood up and talked to the regional manager, he initially jumped back.
Oh, yeah.
And it was one of those things where you're a manager, but you got that employee that does the most fucked up shit that it frightens you. When you go, oh, I know I got power, but goddamn, I expect you to do that bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to call me to react.
But that's the thing. He hopped up so fast, he scared himself, I think, because Morgan was like, he lost it and he snapped back to reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like he choked Richard out so deliciously. Oh, mwah, magnifique. That's how you choke a nigga out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that shit was 100% for the ancestors, cause, that shit, just, I mean, you heard the snap in his throat.
Right.
Because when he's like, when he just kept going till he couldn't stop no more. It just, so delicious. I'm sorry, Ken. Go ahead.
And I don't care what nobody say. If you keep chucking motherfucker with your bare hand, you was mad at them.
Mm-hmm.
Then you just know what you're like. You know what you're going to get? You literally going to get these hands.
Mm-hmm. Right. So,
like, he could have used the bow staff. He could have used, like, right. Liu Kang bicycle kick. This motherfucker choked him.
Mm-hmm. And so then he hopped up and, like Karen said, Gavin took a step back because he was like, oh, this nigga is crazy. Crazy,
right.
And he was like, I just want you to know, we get it. We understand now. We understand, like, we gonna work with y'all and all this shit.
He's the motherfucker that slaps his own face. And he was like, okay, you're slapping yourself.
I'm not even saying he slapped himself. I'm saying he choked the white man in front of your face, and that's scarier than even slapping yourself. Like,
when I mean slapping yourself, you were willing to kill somebody on your own crew.
Right.
So in his mind, you literally are hurting yourself. That's why I said slapping yourself in the
face.
Yeah,
Morgan explained the whole thing. It was like, you know, Richard set this up. He's the reason Ben's dead. And he tried to sabotage his exchange to violate the peace. And this is going to save the peace. And for the record, a lot of people were like, oh, he's playing chess. He's doing this so they can catch the saviors off guard and they're gonna really execute Richard's plan. I don't think so.
Me either.
None of this was part of Richard's plan, getting killed in front of the saviors. I think Morgan really believes taking his one life will save the peace that they are supposed to have.
Right.
But Morgan doesn't know those crops are dying no matter what. Eventually they're gonna come up short, so they gotta go to war no matter how they think, you know, what Morgan thinks. I don't know that Morgan's down for war on that level yet, you know what I mean? Or at this moment, I don't think he was thinking about that.
Right.
So the saviors leave. And Ezekiel's such a fucking thespian. Like, he walks over, points down at the dead body of Richard, and he's like, he did this?
Ah, yes!
Oh, overacting ass nigga. And Morgan was like, he said he wanted to die before, thought he could choose, that's why Dwayne had to die. And then everybody stopped and was like, who the fuck is Dwayne? And you know Dwayne?
I don't know about name Dwayne.
Right.
It's your cousin.
Right. Ezekiel was like, Ezekiel was like, this nigga's crazy. You mean Benjamin? And Morgan was like, that's a tank. but he was like, yes, Benjamin, my bad. And then
he was like, you ain't got it all together. He was like, come on, what else? We gonna get you some help. You don't sound like you're too stable.
Yeah, you don't need to be by yourself. You need to be with other people.
Right.
And Morgan's like, no. And he's like, come on, man, for real. He said, not now. And he said, nah, man, for real, you need to come back with us. And Morgan says, man, I said not now. Oh my God. I heard the nigga underneath it. It was like, nigga, I said no. Oh, so good. Oh, man. That was my favorite line of the whole show, man. He said, man, I said not now. And then they was like, all right, we out then. And they left Richard's body there. And Morgan dragged the body back to the grave, buried it with the Katie book pack. Then he went on a zombie killing spree, practicing with that bow staff. Then he went to Carol's crib, covered in zombie blood. She was like, what happened to you? And he said, you really want to know what happened to Alexandra? And she's like, what happened to you? He's like, oh, killed Richard, strangled him.
He was like, it ain't a long story.
He said it all nonchalantly, like, you know, just another day in the zombie park. I mean, choked out a white man. It's cool. Nothing
to I'm back to killing. You remember, you know me. But yeah, he's like, killed Richard, strangled him. He's the one who got Benjamin killed, so. You want to know what happened to Alexandra? And she was like, I guess. And he was like, yeah, Saviors killed everybody. We lost. We didn't win at all. And they killed some more people even people you don't care about, like Spencer and shit. And Carol said, well, what you going to do now? He was like, oh, I'm just about to go out here on these streets and kill every savior I come across. At first people was like, oh, Rod, you think he talking about zombies? I said, I know he crazy. I get y'all think he crazy. That nigga's talking about people. He talking about saviors. Every savior he come across, he is going to run up on with that motherfucking stick and beat the shit out of them. And he might turn it back to the spear that he used to have. Cause remember, he used to have a spear. And, so she was like, no, Morgan, don't do that. To which I'm like, y'all late relationship has come full circle. Cause you used to be on some like, bye nigga. You know, I don't like you. You don't like me.
Right.
And now that he's like, you know what? I'm back on this killing shit. She's like, hold up now. Don't be just going off killing people. Okay. Why don't you come stay in my house? And you could stay and not stay, you know? And
right,
that's the same thing Morgan told her when she got that house.
Right.
So she was like, all right, cool. Stay here and, go and not go. And I'm gonna go back to town. And she head into town to live at the kingdom. And she tells Zeke, that they gotta go to war, but Zeke is helping Henry in the garden, trying to, I guess, make some new plants since the weevils got the old ones.
Mm-hmm.
And Zeke agrees, but he says, not today. And they all garden together. And that's, the end of their part. And then it goes, the last scene is Morgan sharpening that bow staff into a spear again. And low key, he looked like he heard a voice or something, cause he was like sharpening, he stopped, he was like.
Mm-hmm. It was an axe behind him.
A what?
Axe in the background.
An axe was in the. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Behind him.
I didn't even see that.
When it was
like a person had an axe.
No, it was an axe. Like in the. I don't know if it was in the wood or the floor because they did a long shot because it was behind his back, and it was like an axe. I don't know if it was in the wood or floor because I seen the handle sticking up.
Oh. And
when they did the long shot.
Oh, okay, but it wasn't like he heard the axe.
No.
Okay.
And that's, right. I initially thought maybe somebody was going to come up behind him and pick up that axe.
Oh, no. To me, it seemed like, I mean, maybe that's what'll happen. I don't know. But to me, it seemed like he was back to hearing them voices and shit. Cause that nigga, I'm telling you, he's an alcoholic with this killer, man. He can't just, once you pop, you can't stop, man.
Right. And that was his thing. That's why everybody get mad at him. Going to be anti-killing, but he's like, look, I got to be like this.
He not a kill a couple people and stop type of nigga. He'll kill
everybody,
you know. All right, so what are y'all looking forward to next week, Karen?
Look like I want to see what's happening over at Hilltop.
Mm-hmm.
Cause sound like they're gonna roll up the Hilltop, cause it looks it appears from the previews, it appears that Daryl took his ass back up to the Hilltop.
Mm-hmm.
Like a dummy.
Right. And so that's why he should stay at the kingdom, in my opinion. So Hilltop, looking forward to what's happening with the saviors. What's happening, you know, because they're doing a Suicide Squad mission heading up there. So it's going to be interesting to see what happened with that.
Okay. And what about you, Jeremy? What you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Rosita and Sasha dumbasses fucking up royally, because from the previews look like Sasha, for some reason, I don't know why, she think that during this drop Negan is gonna actually show up, because you know, like you say, Rob, whenever it's usually Simon episodes, it's usually just filler because they couldn't get Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why she think that Negan is actually gonna be there, but you know, whatever. And looks like they looking for Daryl. It looks like the saviors might have got tipped that Daryl might be at Hilltop or whatever. I don't know. But they coming to look for him, and they gonna fuck this up some kind of way. And Gregory gonna be a snitch, like, you know, of course.
Yeah, if they know he's there, I wouldn't be surprised if it was
I don't think they know.
If he's there and they have and they know he's there, I wouldn't be surprised if it was Gregory that told him. That's how duplicitous he is. Right. But yeah, I am looking forward to that Cat and Mouse next week. One thing I was thinking about, was the Hilltop has Daryl there who shouldn't have gone there by any fucking body's definition
of Rick's whole point.
What's smart, right?
You need to stay somewhere that they won't come.
Right. And I guess this is a bit of a knock on the show, but not having Jeffrey Dean Morgan and as a, like, having these placeholder dudes, for me, it doesn't do the same.
No, it does not.
Like, Simon's the best of the placeholders. I'll give him that.
Mm-hmm.
But
if that was Jeffrey Dean Morgan in those scenes, rather than Simon or whatever, I think it would be better. Now, I think the show has done a good job of basically saying, this is why the group is so big, is because they got different people running different parts of their group that's so big. Right. But I don't really necessarily buy that shit. I really think they just couldn't get Jeffrey Dean Morgan to be in all 16 episodes.
Right.
So they said, we can have him in 5. We'll figure out ways around the fact that he won't be in there by having Gavin. But imagine if Jeffrey Dean Morgan was at these meetings. It elevates the level of the show, in my opinion, a lot more. If he's the one meeting with the Ezekiel and them, and he's the one in Hilltop, fucking with Gregory and them, I just think it makes the show better. And so I feel like a lack of Jeffrey Dean Morgan is holding the show back. And also because I think he is pretty good as Negan. So
I think he's excellent as Negan.
Yeah. So I mean, these other dudes they're trapped. It's not their fault, but they can't be scarier than Negan, or else it's like, well, what the fuck is the point of having Jeffrey Dean Morgan?
Right.
And what's the point of having Negan as a big bad if these guys are scarier than him? But at the same time, they can't really be non-threatening, because then it's like, there's no stakes to these meetups. So instead, they end up just being mustache twirlingly bad, as opposed to just one guy who would show up and be like, oh, you don't want to fuck with him. Plus, they could have added some more bodies to Negan's resume if he was the one going to these meetings and shit. Mm-hmm. Or he could be bragging about killing people and shit like that already at Hilltop and whatnot. All right, we got some emails. Ashley writes in, hi, Rod and Karen. A quick warning, this is my own speculation, not spoilers, but based on my knowledge of the comics. I guess we can read this. So I just finished you guys' latest recap. Just wanted to say, I really don't think they're trying to cut down on the gore. Maybe a little bit, but they wrote and mostly shot this season before they got any feedback on episode 1. So this part of the story was always going to be this way. And really, I think it wouldn't make much sense. It wouldn't make sense if a bunch of people died during this time. But to me, the problem is that they stretched the one volume of the comics, March to War, which is maybe 5 or 6 issues, into a whole entire season. And there's just not a lot happening in that arc. So they had to make things up to fill that time, like these ridiculous junkyard people and Eugene moseying around the sanctuary for an hour. And that's just boring. I love the Rashawn episode, and I hate that more people didn't, but I get that this part of the story simply isn't interesting, and I'm betting that they did it this way so they can promote the all-out war for season 8, and I'm sure it'll last the entire season. So in the end, I think it was more poor planning than it is them trying to change the show. The show is changing by default because a lot more people are being introduced, and I don't envy them having to juggle all that. But there's a war coming soon. It's guaranteed that people will die. I think that's just not the story right now. Anyway, I hope that you don't stop doing weekly recaps because they're my absolute favorite, but I get where you're coming from. Thanks. I feel you, Ashley. And yeah, I'm a fan of the comics too. I read them. I'm current, actually.
I'm a little bit behind, but yes.
Even if they are not killing people and they say they're not cutting back on the gore, which I still don't believe. For me, it's not just about the fact that people aren't dying. It's when they die, the way they edit around the death is not as grotesque as it used to be.
Correct. And especially with the episode where the dude got tossed into the furnace, I really do think that dude, he may have came out on fire. Like, it was something that they had, because the way people's reactions were so over the top that you was like, oh, he was probably fucked up, and they probably had showed him coming out on fire, walking on fire, screaming, melting, something that they just edited out right there because their reactions didn't make any sense to me.
It seemed like, I mean, even with Ben's death, you know, it's pretty, you know, it's pretty tame for this show, you know. And like I said, this isn't, it's not that they need these things to make the show great, mm-hmm. but they, regardless of how you may feel about the writing, they did say that they were cutting down on the gore because of it. So I'm not making it up. The producer said, I feel like going off of their word isn't necessarily us like seeing something that's not there.
Right.
I think they do care about the lowering ratings. I mean, 6 million people is a lot to lose in a couple years.
Come on.
I think they do care about some of these negative reviews. Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of people are basically lying, talking about, well, it's because of the gore that I don't watch, and it's too graphic, and it's too sad, and it's too depressing. And I think they've taken some notes, and there is a lot more smiling, a lot more jokes now. They're trying to turn the show into something that I think goes halfway and doesn't satisfy either part.
Right.
As I'd rather them appeal to the core fans and be like, fuck these other people. If they don't like the show, then they'll stop watching. But at least the people that are fans of the comics, that are fans of the way we've been doing the show, will stay. You know, the story has gotten bigger. You got more characters. You got more locations. It's very difficult to do a show like that. I had a long conversation today with Justin on the pregame, and I'll try to put it out tomorrow or something. But we basically had a talk where I was telling him, I think almost all entertainment on TV is really okay. Like, it's really like mediocre. Most, but if you like something and it caters towards you, you give it more benefits than you do for something that doesn't.
Correct.
You know, there's a reason that people can be like, Scandal's just okay, but I love it because we all watching this Black Girl Time.
Right.
Empire is not a great show, but everybody was watching it for a year or two and everybody was having a good time. Breaking Bad has some moral inconsistencies and some placing issues that I don't really like, but at the same time, people really fuck with that show, so they give it breaks that they wouldn't give a show that they don't like. It's just common sense. You know, I'm watching Westworld now. It's a future where you can go to a theme park and be a fucking rapist, but nobody's a racist. Like, it's you know, there's weird shit where I'm just like, oh, for me, I'm like, this kind of is weird. But for people that love that universe, they're like, no. It's perfect because this, that, and the other, right? So I feel like that happens with Walking Dead. Oh, what'd you say?
It's kind of like the Your Phase thing.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem with that. I think more people talk them into like, no, this is the high quality entertainment. I'm like, no, that's the shit you like.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just, if you like a thing, then it's the best for a lot of people. I like a thing and it's just okay, you know, and when you get tired of something, like after 7 seasons, a lot of shit just becomes okay to you. It's hard to keep people going for 7 seasons. I don't envy this show, right? But, I think the producers said that they were going to cut down on the gore. I think the show feels toned down on the gore.
Yes, it does.
The deaths that are happening, if it's all for the setup, then I think they made a bad decision to try to stretch, that part of the comics into 16 episodes. I can understand 8, but 16 is a lot to ask of people. And some of the concepts that they're throwing out there to me don't really seem to work because, you know, the Junkticons and shit, while they're good comic relief, they're not really a scary group. And they're not a very interesting group.
And to me, they don't move the storyline along. I'm trying to find that whole interaction with them was 100% fucking pointless in my opinion.
I mean, it will at some point. Right. They'll have guns. They'll have numbers. But what I'm saying is, you can't name anybody in that group other than Jadis. There's it wasn't like 2 or 3 of them came back with Rick and them, and then they got introduced to Alexandria, and then we started learning them, and now it's kind of they're simply there as a plot device.
Right.
You know, we need more bodies. These are the people we find. You know, Oceanside's episode was better, but if they really meant it and they really wanted to like make it part of the narrative, some of the shit from Oceanside would start leaking over where, you know, not it will. I mean, some of the characters would be involved with Alexandria. Some of the characters would be involved with Hilltop. Like, that's like, we know Hilltop, Alexandria, and the Kingdom. We know characters within it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know Jerry's name. You know Richard. You don't know people at these other places like that because they're not designed to be like that. Because it feels like they're stretching the show to 16 episodes.
Right, because, yeah, particularly with Oceanside, if they wanted to do it right, that girl would have left with Tara versus actually being taken back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something, you know. You know, we don't know where Heath is. I mean, we know he's fighting terrorists, but, I mean, we don't know. We don't really know where he's at.
Right. He just fell off the bridge and watched on show in Washington, D.C. and was like, fuck it, let's fight this terrorism.
Yeah, and I don't say this to shit on the show.
No.
This is just how I feel. Mm-hmm. I still enjoy the show.
Me too.
The last two episodes I didn't enjoy as much. This episode I actually liked a lot. Mm-hmm. So I don't, you know, honestly, like, this made me feel like, oh, okay, cool. This is why we watch the show. I'm not as worried about not watching the show anymore shit. But when they had them kind of weak episodes in a row, for me, I was like, if this is the new bar for the show, then I don't need to watch this live every Sunday night.
Right.
But better
to binge.
Yeah, but I enjoyed this show. So,
yeah.
You know.
And also, not to get off topic, it's getting to the point where the Fear the Walking Dead is actually better than The Walking Dead to me so far.
Yeah, I like Fear the Walking Dead, but I know that's an unpopular opinion. And
right. I like
once
that
again,
show
I don't
too.
Feel like arguing with people. I think now also we have so much entertainment. When people turn on a show, they turn hardcore, like everything's an F.
Right.
There's no C's, there's no B's, there's no D's. Everything's either A or F.
Right, that's not realistic.
Like Gavin said.
Yeah, yes, everything's a pass or fail, no incompletes. Because I think people want to feel like I'm not missing out on anything. And so you can justify to yourself you didn't miss out on anything if you say something was garbage and there's nothing redeeming about it and all that shit. I try to fight against that impulse because... you know, I respect a lot of people's opinions, and sometimes I end up finding good shows, or, you know, like, I didn't find Westworld to be, so far, I got two episodes left, but I didn't find it to be this A-plus entertainment everybody was saying it was, but it's still good. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be a A++ for me to get through it, you know? Like, nah, I like the show, and it could be a B, it could be a C, and I'm still like, oh, this is a good show, it was worthwhile, you know?
Yeah, and also, I've come to the conclusion and the realization that everybody watches shows for various different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Some people watch shows because they really love and enjoy the shows. And I'm going to keep it right now, because of the age of social media, some people watch shows because they don't want to be left out doing live tweets.
Mm-hmm.
Not because they really enjoy the genre, not because they really like what's happening. And then they come with these other opinions that I sometimes don't always agree with, that I think is irrelevant, but they watching the show too, just like
right.
I am.
Yeah, anyway, I like this episode. So,
I like this episode.
Yeah, if you were worried about us not reviewing it, I mean, this goes a long way towards me being like, okay, I'll stick around. Cause I watch this show if I like 10 out of 16 episodes. Like, I'm good with that. Like, I know every episode's not gonna hit, and there's gonna be some of those either filler or slash, those bottleneck episodes where I think maybe you run out of the money with all these stunts and shit, and then eventually you just have to do like Michonne and Rick in the woods, you know
right.
what I mean? So yeah, anyway. But yeah, thank you so much, Ashley. And don't worry about it, man.
Don't worry, baby.
You know, I know people get really concerned about their entertainment. I'm not trying to shit on it. I enjoy doing these recaps, you
Me
know.
Too.
I wish people would understand that too, like if I'm biased towards liking the show, then that's because I'm biased towards an hour that me and Karen spend together watching this show and then talking about it and having an audience that loves discussing it with us. I mean,
yes.
If that makes me like the show more than you think it deserves to be liked, then that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Walking Dead buried
you
me here.
Like it.
Oh, what'd you say? I'm sorry.
You ain't got to like it, but you could shut the fuck up about me liking it.
Yeah, that's the worst, you know. And I always leave people alone when they say they hate it.
Right, that's the thing.
You know what I mean?
When it comes to that, I guess I'm the type of person where I respect people's. I'm not gonna say respect. I respect your right to love or hate a show.
Yeah, some of my favorite people don't fuck with my favorite shows, and I'm cool with that.
Right, we
still my favorite people.
Yeah, they are.
When the season first came back. When Glenn and A got killed, my girlfriend said she wasn't watching the show no more, and she was dead ass serious about she don't watch the show no more because she loved Glenn and he got killed, and like, I respect that, and hey, if she don't watch it, she don't watch it. She don't talk shit about people that still watch it. She don't like try to hate on people that still watch it. She respect the fact that I still watch it and like it. You know, she just, Glenn was one of her faves, and now that Glenn ain't there no more, she just don't watch it, and you know, it's fine.
Yep. All right. Mimi writes in, hi Rod and Karen. I absolutely enjoyed the hell out of this episode. Morgan snapped out of the sunken place, shook off all that All Lives Matter bullshit, and got back into this crazy killing zone. Yeah, he wasn't saying that all lives are precious this week. However,
he was talking like Bill Withers. He was talking more like Teddy.
Right. However, it was a good thing that Carol was around to admit him to the violence rehab cottage to cool off before he got himself by going got himself killed by going after the saviors alone. This nigga actually thought he was about to do an impossible white man bout with a stick and a knife. You ain't John Wick. Chill the F out and refocus, man. I wonder who, I ain't gonna lie, several times in this episode, I also wondered who was cutting his hair. They got a barber up in Kingdom. Mm-hmm. Kingdom got some clippers. Who the nigga think Jerry Nice with the clippers? Jerry? It might be Jerry.
It might be. Cause I can see it. You know, Ezekiel got dreads.
I can see Jerry cutting some hair. I also wonder if there was someone actually creeping up behind Morgan at the end where he was sharpening his stick. Maybe that concubine of Negan's. Oh, Sherry. Sherry, or maybe Heath. For real though, where is Heath? Is he on a never ending search for some shea butter and coconut oil to help him twist the new growth on the top of his head? Anyway, I digress. Finally, I really appreciate how the writers were able to bring to termination a couple of minor plot lines in order to simultaneously springboard crucial turning points for the more major characters. I won't miss Benjamin or Richard, but their lives and deaths helped to drive the overarching story along and thus move the kingdom closer to sweet revenge. Fully anticipating the last three episodes of the season. Thanks for the faithful recap each week. Yeah, one thing about this show that I'll have to give it credit that some shows don't do, and I think they may overdo it, but they definitely do it. They definitely set up certain plot points so you can't say something came out of nowhere.
True.
Now sometimes it makes things a little too quote unquote predictable.
Yes.
I felt like Ben was the guy that was going to die, that was because he was being set up from a long way away as the one thing that will motivate everyone in the kingdom to fight, you know.
He's so sweet.
Ezekiel feels responsible for his father's death. He feels responsible for his brother and taking care of him. He feels right. responsible for taking care of Ben. He calls him his ward. He has Morgan train him. He takes training seriously. He's always nice to people, overly nice and friendly to people. He interacts with Carol. Carol, as much as she, you know, is always mean towards kids and shit,
right,
she, you know, she actually had a bit of concern about his safety and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like he hit all the tropes of this is when you kill this kid, this is the no, not him. Like he was like a kid in a Vietnam movie talking about next week I go home and see my wife,
right.
You know,
she said just had a baby.
Yeah, she said little girl's got my eyes. Thank you, Sarge. Like, he hit all the fucking tropes.
He was like, nope, you're gonna be the first one to take a bullet.
So, yeah, it was obvious he was gonna die. It was like, even when they had that gun in Richard's face, I said, okay, so how does Ben die? Because I just kept thinking, it's gotta be Ben. It's Ben. You know what I mean? And yes, that could be tedious. I can understand people being like, fuck this shit. Why'd it take so long to kill this nigga? But they believe in that, and I think they believe it's an emotional connection that will make you feel a sense of loss, especially when they're kind of tricking the audience by killing new characters. Like if you think about it, they're not killing characters that we've had for a long time.
Oh, characters that they've built up.
They're killing that, like we met Richard like last year.
Right.
We met Ben at the same time. Like they're not. This is a way around killing Lenny James, killing Carol, killing. And that part of that means we got to build these people up for 8 episodes before we kill them. I don't know that it works all the time. Like, I don't feel the connection that I did with these people. But when you start off killing Abraham and fucking Glenn, you're going to have people that are going to feel a way about holding on to these characters for a while longer. So, all right. I thought Richard was plotting, but this plan here, glad he got what he was looking for, even if it's not the way he thought it would come. He deserved all of that. I had hoped that the saviors would have gone ahead and dealt with the long haired dude though. Even they knew it went too far. He got to pay. One time for Shiva, chilling like a domesticated pet. It cracks me up that everyone else responds the way any sane person would with fear. Mac. Hey, let me tell you this, Mac, what's funny. You spell Shiva, which is S-H-I-V-A, Sheba, S-H-E-B-A. You're not the only one. All the black people keep calling it Sheba. Like, it's Shiva. Like,
I thought it was Sheba.
Yeah, I think Shiva may be like an Indian demigod or something like that. And people keep calling it Shiva, like the queen of Shiva.
Right.
Black people love some Shiva, boy. I see y'all black people. Make it black. Miss Smart writes in. Hey, Kate, Rod, and esteemed guest. Full disclosure, I have never trusted Jesus. Well, we all knew you was a heathen, Miss Maud. I mean, trust, you didn't. We've heard the podcast. Exhibit one, Jesus must think trading is the same as extortion because he has yet to lead them into any groups willing to trade with each other. Remember when he broke into the Grimes home in Alexandria during that morning meeting with the town council? Jesus said there were all these towns trading with each other. Then later he takes them to Hilltop where the whole extortion situation is discussed. Yeah, I think Jesus was also supposed to introduce them to the kingdom, but he probably wanted them to earn their way into the trust of Hilltop.
Right.
But you know, yeah, Jesus is a salesman. I mean, let's keep it real. He didn't tell them about their little Negan problem. Mm-mm. Exhibit two, if Jesus is so knowledgeable about all the groups, why didn't Jesus tell Rick and the crew about the Junkyard Dogs? Did Jesus not know?
I don't think he knows
about the junk to come.
I don't think nobody knows. They had a fucking zombie and some damn gladiator gear. I don't think even Jesus know about that shit.
Although it would be wild if Jesus did know. If that was a running gag on the show, just everybody know Jesus.
Yeah, he is omnipresent now.
Right. The Junkticons just show up and be like, oh, him is here. I don't know how they would say it. They would say it some stupid way. Exhibit three, Rosita or Sasha said Jesus drew a map of the outside of the Savior's main campus, yet he didn't draw a location map of all the alleged groups trading with each other. Jesus still can't be trusted. I rest my case. TPS. I'll see you. I see you, Miss Smart. Well, you know what? If Jesus turns out to be the traitor, if he turned out to be the feds, you will be like the smartest person. So
Miss Smart got her third eye open.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
She's woke. We got one from Notorious EVE who says, Hi Queen Karen and Rod. Sorry. Winky face. So this was a great episode. Carol is back in formation and we only have a few more episodes left in the season. Things are getting tense. Wait, what was the title of this? Oh, okay, Alexandra, Carol's back in formation. All right. However, I was left feeling tense and scared for some of my faves. I know this is going to be an unpopular opinion, but Morgan is one of my favorite characters on the show. It is an unpopular opinion, but you want to know something, Evie? Me and you on the same boat.
Mm-hmm. I like him.
I don't got the problems with Morgan everybody else got.
I don't either.
They just want that nigga to be. They just don't understand alcoholism, man. He got control issues. You wake up and he gonna be choking Judith to death. He can't kill, guys.
Not if he don't choke out a white man.
Right. They want him to be the Hulk so bad, but it's like he can't help himself, y'all. Turn to the Hulk, he be turning on the Avengers. I really love the trajectory of his character, his roller coaster of emotions, his story with Eastman, and his trying to help Carol and find the peace. Yeah, I won't lie. Part of the reason I like Morgan is also because I think Lenny James is a fucking tremendous actor.
Come on, dude.
Like, he makes the shit that really a lot of characters would not be able to make work because the actors aren't good enough.
So intense.
He makes some of the silliest, stupidest shit work on this show where I'm just like, oh, because he can act. Okay. You know?
Like when he, his voice went, when he gave his well, I think, you know, they both the same to me ass speech a couple of weeks ago with Rick and them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lenny James is a beast, man. I'm always in awe of that dude.
I do understand people's frustration with the character, not trying to
But it's also because he's a good actor,
right?
You know what I mean? It's purposeful that you would be frustrated. Shit, everybody was frustrated with him last season. He showed up being the one nigga that's a pacifist, of course.
Then one more thing, like, he got the blackest name ever, Lenny James,
right?
Like, nigga.
And then when you see him be interviewed, he's like, well, I thought that we should do that, and I'm like, damn, how do you sound like that and then be on the show like, oh, lives are precious, Rick? I'm like, damn, you can act, bro.
That nigga go from Idris Elba to Blue from the Temptation like that. And it's like, nigga, how?
I see why Sam Jackson was mad, but the nigga can act. I'm sorry, Sam.
He can act.
I mean, what can I say, man? You won't say that to Lenny. But yeah, so she goes on. I really love the trajectory of this character, his rollercoaster of emotions and his story with Eastman, and him is trying to help Carol and find the peace. He is easily the character I most empathize for. So the fact that he is probably going to back going back to Crazy Morgan while necessary makes me sad. Man, I hope he don't go all the way back, man. But yeah, I'm worried, y'all. I'm worried. Keep in mind, Morgan will have a lasting legacy on this show no matter how it goes, because he made that jail cell. And I'm telling y'all, that jail cell is future thinking. If you're bringing back society, everything can't be the death penalty.
Right.
Like, at some point, everybody got to grow up and be like, what do we do with people that don't act right? It can't just be we out here just lynching everybody like it's the old West, you know? I think he has some good thoughts, but just, once again, when you're out, he just goes overboard one way or the other, man. He's addicted to the killing, or he's addicted to not killing. He just can't have it in the middle, man. I'm pretty certain he was sharpening both of his staffs. What are your thoughts of this shift? I find it tragic. Well, I find it racist. I don't want no spear chucker on the show. Okay.
Oh Lord.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, do you think he's gonna make it to the end of the season? I'm scared, but I think he's heading to the zombie yard alongside Rosita. I can see him dying. I mean, he's a good actor. He could always get some work, but I hope they don't kill him. Mm-mm. Also, Lenny James is playing the hell out of this character. That scene where he calls Benjamin Dwayne, I almost lost it. Just my feelings. I know these are my sappy feelings. On a lighter note, oh, how I hate Jared. And Gavin is now on the list. Yeah, Jared is a bizarro Jesus. The list of fuck you forever. They're on the list of fuck you forever. Right next to Dwight. Because it's for still fuck all those guys for life. Peace and blessing to you both. Take care. Notorious EVE. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. I can't wait to see what the fuck happens at the kingdom, by the way, because I honestly have no idea. All right, and lastly, we got one from EVE, not the notoriously one, who says, hi Rod, Karen, and Jeremy. Queen Carol is back and she's ready to fight. Soon Rick and Michonne won't be the only ones making sweet swirly love in the Z-Pac if King Ezekiel has anything to do with it. Oh, that's true. She gonna be living over there. Maybe she can stay in his room. Maybe they give her some more of that produce. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Sound like when they was over there in that garden. She already got her new adopted child.
Mm-hmm. Jerry has fast become my favorite character. Dude was not able to about to have that leave that cobbler behind. Mm-hmm. And I think he's more into the kingdom role playing than even Zeke is. Yeah, he is. He got hit upside the head at the exact wrong time to say that shit.
Ah.
Do not interrupt the king.
Ouch. I think he was probably a LARPer in real life before the Z-Pac, and this is his dream come true.
That stick
to the head made him realize that everybody isn't into cosplay.
Right.
For hitting my boo Jerry like that, those saviors have got to die slow, painful deaths, and I'm really going to need someone to pull an R. Kelly and piss on Jerry's dead body.
Aww.
What a piece of shit guy. Yeah, Jared is a terrible guy. I don't know that that's an R. Kelly. I don't know if he pissed on any dead people, but I'll allow it. Allegedly, we don't know. Crazy Morgan is back. Richard was going to pull the okie doke, but Morgan was not here for this bullshit. Mm-hmm. I guess Morgan finally got out of the sunken place and finally realized that all lives matter kick he was on was bullshit. Yeah, what y'all didn't see in that scene was one of the saviors had a phone that flashed and then he lost it.
Duh.
All that being said, while this episode had entertaining moments, it was very predictable, right down to Ben's death. Yeah, I agree.
And it was funny, though. I know that didn't mean to, but somebody brought up in chat. It's like he died during the commercial break. I was like, oh, okay.
Even when Ben got shot, we all knew he was. As soon as they said it was Ben, I was like, oh, well, then he dead. Like, they went to that house. I was like, they saved their time. Like, he just gonna die. Oh yeah, all right. I don't think The Walking Dead is losing fans because of the violence. They're losing people because they're dragging this Negan story out way too long. We agree on that to some extent. Mm-hmm. We were promised the uprising in the second half, but all we're getting are these little side missions. We probably won't see any real action until the season finale. So far this season, we've seen Negan's people bully everyone, and it's triggering for a lot of people to see the group they're rooting for constantly be beaten down. Well, I'll tell you what, the last few episodes hasn't been like that. So it's weird to me because at first that's what I thought it was. Like, oh, people just can't handle these niggas showing up at Alexandria every other week, making the crew act like, you know, so scared. But I'm thinking now it's just more about the fact they drug it out and not enough shit is happening and not enough people are dying.
Right.
for lack of a better term, just more people gotta die, man.
More people.
Like, you keep introducing these places, some shit gotta pop off. Some shit gotta blow up or something. Anyway.
I think if they would've, like, did, instead of having to jump the cons, if we would've went to, like, Oceanside for the guns, I think it would've moved it quite along, because if, Nick, I mean, knowing how Oceanside is, somebody's gonna get shot.
Yep.
Somebody might die, but, you know, I mean, hey, I'm not a writer, but maybe it would have escalated quickly and we would have got to, okay, getting a plan and getting the guns quicker than, you know, this shit with Jadis and her swoop bang and shit, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, last season, I just remember in the second half of the season, the episodes I enjoyed the most were actually the episodes where they, like, did something that interacted with the saviors or killing the saviors and shit, you know, like, you know, whether it was the episode where they used a rocket launcher to blow up the motorcycles, or whether it was when they snuck into that compound and killed everybody, or even the one with Carol and Maggie, you know, like, those were the episodes I liked the most, and we're just having a lot less of those situations now, where they're running into groups and they're fighting those groups or they're killing people. Cause I'd be cool with them killing people as well. Like, it doesn't have to be one-sided where all my faves are dying. I'd be cool with, you know, an episode that has Rick and Michonne roll up on some people and they gotta kill them, you know, but it's just like none of that's happening right now. And it just feels, I don't know, slow to me. That being said, I still enjoyed this episode a lot more than the last two. Okay. They lose the people. They're dragging out this. All right. So far this season, we've seen Negan's people bully everyone. It's triggering for a lot of people. Okay. There have been some gems this season, but this episode just fell flat for me and I'm ready for the battle to begin. Yeah. I think I like this episode because of acting mostly.
Yeah. Acting was excellent.
All right. That's everything, guys. Thank you so much. Check out Jeremy's podcast on the CSPN. Podcast. I don't even know what to call it, because if I say network, I'm saying the Code Slither Podcast Network, and that's not how it is. Oh. Okay. The CSPN channel. Why don't you guys check that out on everywhere you find podcasts? Check out Crown and Collars. Follow on Twitter at @Blike_Dante, @Blike_Dante. It'll be in the show notes. Jeremy, thank you so much for coming
on,
bro.
Thank you, baby.
Thank y'all for having me, and one day I got to get on the regular show so we can play the games and stuff.
Absolutely, man. I got you.
We got you, dog. All
right. Until next week, I love you.
I love you, too. Mwah.